James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening. Glad to have all of you with us this evening here in the land of the sandy beaches and blue waters, beautiful Fort Myers and Naples, Florida area. I hope it's a nice day where you are. Quite hot up in the Midwest. I do know that today. Very hot in the Midwest. Hotter than it was here in Florida. So, lots of rain here this week. I don't know why I tell you about the weather every week. I guess everybody has rain. Everybody has nice days and all that sort of thing. I guess it's something we don't talk about very much around here. You know, it is an odd thing when you live in Florida. You don't really watch the weather forecast anymore. You just don't care because you know it's pretty much going to be nice all the time. It's just something that, you know, it's different. It's quite different anyway. A lot to talk about tonight. Of course, we'll be talking about one thing we won't be talking about. And wasn't it nice? We finally had some peace this week. It's wearing off, the Michael Jackson trial. Thank God it's over. And we won't be inundated with that news every single day. Man, I was tired of that story. Woo! As you know, we didn't talk about it on here, but you couldn't turn the TV on without hearing it, and I was awfully glad to see that that's over with. And of course, we'll be talking about Rasputin tonight. I mean, Karl Rove tonight. Comrade Karl. We'll be talking a lot about Comrade Karl tonight. I do want to remind you that a little later on, we're going to have Scott Ritter, former UN's weapons inspector. We've had him on the program before. He's a fabulous guest. You can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Locally, 479-5540, or if you're in Collier County, 263-6570. A lot on the agenda tonight. We want to try and cover everything. And, of course, the big news this week, still the uproar over Dick Durbin. And Dick, I know you didn't hear the show last week, but I wish you would have, because I spent 15 minutes saying how great it was that you got up there and blasted these guys and gave them a piece of your mind, and that you shouldn't ever retract what you said or apologize for what you said, because you didn't have anything to apologize for. You didn't do what they said you did. But it got to you, and I'm disappointed in you, Dick. I'm just disappointed that you got up and let him get to you like that. I really am. Doesn't change my mind about Dick Durbin. He's a great man, a fine man, a good, upstanding man. But I think it got to him this week. And what other news we got? This sad story about these three little boys in New Jersey. My God. I don't know. Don't you think if you had an abandoned car or a car sitting around your neighborhood, that'd been one of the first places you would have looked? I would have. I know hindsight's 20/20, but I certainly would have looked in places like that first off. And what a tragedy that is. And of course, we had what's the deal with Bush and Condoleezza Rice hanging out together all the time? Have you noticed that? Not only on business, but since when does the President of the United States and the Secretary of State hang out socially all the time? Huh? Did you see the picture of them having a good time at the Washington Nationals baseball game on Thursday, whatever day it was? Just having a good old time together at the ball game. Because, you know, don't tell anybody, but Laura's out of town. I don't want to start any rumors or anything, but it just seemed odd to me that Laura's out of town, and you know what I'm talking about. And, well, what else was there this week? Rush Limbaugh, I guess the judge is going to take a look at his medical papers now to see which one of them's turned over to the prosecutor, and Rush is all excited about that. I think he's getting different treatment. He's rich and famous, and I think he's above all of us little people. You know, all hopped up on thousands of little pills, and nothing's happened to him yet. And his ears even gave out over that thing from the toxicity from the whole thing. We're going to mention Patrick Henry University. I think some of you might know about that. Quite an odd thing. Have you seen those ads running on TV already from the neocons, think tanks, the Heritage Foundation and all about the Supreme Court. Man, are they gearing up for that fight already? And it will be a fight. It certainly will. And, of course, we had, what news that was out of Italy. Italian judge ordering the arrest of 13 American CIA people for illegal operations in their sovereign nation. Has this government of ours no respect for anybody? I mean, you hear of kidnappings going on in other countries, dispiriting someone out of the country, but, you know, do we have to do that? Do we have to be a rogue nation and just walk in and say, hey, we'll do what we damn please in your country? We don't care if it's your sovereign nation or not. We're gonna do what we want. Do you think that was right? I don't think so. And the story about Dick Cheney this week. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Can these guys tell the truth about anything? Anything at all? They insisted that he had to go in the hospital out in, where was it, Vail, Colorado, to see about an old football injury to his knee. And little did they know that Arianna Huffington was also in Vail and got the skinny on the whole business about that whole thing, how he actually saw a cardiologist under the name of Dr. Hoffman, had an angina attack. That's what the word is out there. And the security was so high that a Secret Service agent wouldn't let an ER nurse out of the bathroom that she'd gone into just before the vice president arrived, and the agent said, get back in there, and she called her husband on the cell phone telling him something big was going on, and indeed it was. But she wouldn't know it from the White House. It appears that not only doesn't the public need to know what's going on, we don't need to know what's going on with our vice president's health either. All that from Arianna Huffington. These guys are paranoid. I mean, they won't tell the truth. I'm surprised they tell us their names right. I guess lying must be hard on the heart, huh, Dick? Is that it? Or is your heart made of stone? One or the other, I'm pretty sure. 1,736 soldiers dead as of today. Sorry figure, that's for certain. But, you know, the big news this week, besides the Durbin story, that they tried to make a big story, this big news this week was this Comrade Karl Rove story. And this week, I think the Bush regime really sunk to a new low. A lot lower than I ever expected of them. And believe me, as you well know, my expectations of the Bush administration are pretty damn low. But they managed to climb much further into the political gutter than I ever could have imagined. Karl Rove's comments about 9/11 were without a doubt the sleaziest, most disgusting remarks uttered during the reign of this disgusting bunch controlling Washington right now. Remember, Bush is the guy who promised to change the tone in Washington? Well, as it turns out, this is probably one of the very few campaign promises he has kept, along with lowering taxes for his fat cat friends, of course. Yes, he promised to change the tone, and he has certainly done that all right. The tone set by this administration almost from day one of their rule is it's my way or the highway. They've done everything possible to shove their neocon ideas down the throats of all Americans, no matter what the consequences. They've forsaken any hint of compromise with Democrats, and Rove's remarks, along with the Bolton nomination, are proof positive that they don't give a damn about what anyone else says. They're going to have their way, no matter what. Here this week, they politicized 9/11 all over again. They've already done it over and over again. Remember the disgusting display at their convention in New York last year? Remember how they cited 9/11 over and over again? Remember Rudy Giuliani citing 9/11, 16 times in his speech? Maybe it was more than that. And now Rove wants to use those 3,000 dead Americans once again to further his political agenda? You know, after seeing the polls, it's obvious that many Americans have now realized what a mistake, a huge mistake it was to vote for George W. Bush. A lot of them have finally seen through Bush's agenda of war and more war in order to enrich his wealthy campaign contributors, a war for oil and war to establish more power in the Mideast region. Finally, a significant number of Americans have learned that Mr. Bush's plans are not good for America, but only for a select few. And the really sick, sinister part of the whole thing is that they have almost complete control of the media, which really and truly enables them to get away with almost anything. And if you think about it, the further they sink into political depravity, the louder is the noise coming from their right-wing propaganda machine made up of Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Laura Ingraham, Tony Snow, Bill O'Reilly, who else? Mike Savage, a host of others. Although Savage is starting to jump off the bandwagon. No matter what Bush wants to say or do, the chorus of right-wing broadcasters will march to his tune because they're literally owned by the right-wing think tanks. The whole gang of media people, along with almost the entire Republican Party, are guilty of nothing less than moral bankruptcy. Why do I say they're guilty of moral bankruptcy? It's like this. They were in charge when 9/11 happened. Fine, it happened. There were many reasons for it happening. But what did Bush and friends do? Right off the bat, almost immediately, they placed the blame on others. It was Clinton's fault. And if you listen to Falwell and Robertson, it was the gays' fault. It was the feminists' fault. The Democrats' fault. In other words, they sought to hide their own share of guilt by blaming the entire episode on others. Never mind that they had many warnings that it might happen. Never mind that Bush went on vacation despite being warned that something was in the air. Never mind all of that. Just blame it on someone else. So then you start a war with the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you blame Americans opposed to the war and call them un-American, unpatriotic. You shift the blame, you shift the responsibility. You get 1,736 soldiers to date killed by lying us into a war that never should have happened in the first place, and what do? You blame it on the Democrats. We've seen this pattern over and over and over again. Distract, deny, and divert any blame whatsoever. This administration has not accepted responsibility for even one. Not even one. Not even the tiniest of their failures. You got the budget deficit, the trade deficit, the sluggish economy, the dollar decline, the loss of American prestige around the world, the loss of American credibility. There's a litany of bad news, and they have not, nor will they ever, take responsibility for even a small part of any of it. Just distract, deny, and divert the blame to someone else. Simple, isn't it? Like a bunch of little kids. I didn't do it. Johnny did it. You know, the war in Iraq is going bad. Just start saying it's the fault of the Democrats. American soldiers getting killed on a regular basis is because the Democrats being unpatriotic. You know, it's time to face the music, folks. We're involved in a horrible quagmire in Iraq. No matter how many times the Bush people say things are just hunky-dory over there, those of us who have eyes and ears know that the exact opposite is true. True, we've taken a few steps toward, forward in Iraq, but the reality is for every step forward, been shoved back two steps. The Iraqi people are suffering terribly, and the whole world knows it, except for those who refuse to see the reality of the situation. It's time for all Americans to realize who the real enemy is. It isn't the Iraqi people. It isn't the Muslim people. It isn't the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. The real enemy of our nation right now is this present administration, who are not Republicans, by the way, and those who are helping them hijack the welfare of the United States of America. They're firmly entrenched in power. They own the media. They're owned by the likes of the crazy fundamentalists like Jerry Falwell, James Dobson, and Pat Robertson, and they're dangerous. And they've proved it over and over again. And this latest attack by Karl Rove proves that they will stop at nothing to have their way. Karl Rove is a disgrace. A disgrace to the flag of the United States of America, along with anyone. And I mean anyone who agrees with his filthy comments of this past week. We'll be talking a lot about Karl Rove today. I hope you'll throw in your two cents. If you feel like calling up and defending his words, please do. Love to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 in Collier County. Let's go to Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Carl Rove's comment, exactly what you were just talking about. Okay, and I remember watching the Bill Maher show, like a little bit after the election, and he said something that was so true, which is that Republicans can take nothing and turn it into something, where Democrats can't take anything and make it into something. Okay, and they were presented this week with the asinine comments that Karl Rove said to really show what kind of hypocrites these people are. Okay, and instead of doing that, they sat there and demanded an apology from him and all this. And that was so soft. And if I could, I'd like to give a Democratic response. Okay, number one, if what he says is true, that first of all, he says that when conservatives saw the savagery of September 11th, that they started preparing for war. If I remember correctly, they didn't prepare for war. What they started preparing were airplanes to get Bin Laden's family out of the country so they wouldn't be bothered by the FBI.
That's amen, brother. For.
Okay, and second, after September 11th happened, recruiting for the military jumped up like by double or whatever the number was. Okay, I'd like to ask Karl Rove, how many of those people does he believe were liberals, and if he believes those people are now cowards?
Good point.
Also, how many people out of the 150,000 people that are fighting right now in Iraq, does he believe that every single one of those people are conservative? And if he's wrong, then does he believe the liberals who are fighting over there are cowards also?
Another good point. You bet.
Okay. And the last thing is, okay, Bush got more votes than any president in the history of the United States, how they love to say that over the last few months. Okay. If that's true, okay, then why are recruiting numbers down? Okay, is he saying that all the conservatives who voted for George W. Bush are cowards? Okay, that they don't want to fight this war? Or is he saying that they're just stupid and they don't understand what it is they're trying to accomplish in Iraq? And maybe that last part would explain why this man is the president again.
Well, you make a good point. You know there's no way to answer that. I mean,
right.
You're exactly right.
And that's what they should have done. And instead, apologize. No, hold him to his word. Look, this is what you said. Stand by it. And the last thing I'd like to say for all you conservatives, okay, people around the whole week have been saying that this was a diversion to take attention away from all these other things that are going on. I personally believe these comments were a diversion, but not for liberals. It was for conservatives. And the reason why, if you heard the hearing, Lindsey Graham, okay, who's a senator for South Carolina, not necessarily a liberal state, has said that his people are starting to get worried. This was a diversion for conservatives because they realize that even conservatives now are starting to realize the bullcrap that these people are saying. Okay, and their only hope is that conservatives hate liberals so much that they will not ever sit down and discuss what are the differences and realize that liberals and conservatives, real ones right now, agree on one thing, which is that we do not need to be inside of that country.
Absolutely right.
Even Pat Buchanan says it.
And I think the majority of liberals and real conservatives right now would agree on that point.
Exactly. We take it easy, guys.
Thank you for your call, Julio. A great call. Yeah, I'd like to remind Karl Rove, and I'd like to remind all the people that hang with Karl Rove and defend what he said this week. You know, it was a Democrat administration that captured and convicted the terrorist who attacked the World Trade Center in 1993. It was a Democrat who instituted the nation's first anti-terrorism policy and who appointed the nation's first national coordinator of anti-terrorist efforts. It was a Democrat in office who stopped the Al-Qaeda Millennium hijacking and bombing plots. It was a Democrat who stopped the planned attack to kill the Pope. It was a Democrat who stopped the planned attack to blow up 12 U.S. jetliners simultaneously. It was a Democrat who stopped the planned attack to blow up Boston's airport. It was a Democrat who stopped the planned attack to blow up the George Washington Bridge. And over and over and over again, you fool Karl Rove. You low-down, dirty slime ball. How can you... Don't get me started. Dave in Southern California. Hi, Dave.
Up at the other end, almost to Oregon. You will not find me defending the Karl Rove. You're expressing my sentiments of him very articulately. My concern, 9/11, it goes back to the earliest days of a group of psychopathic criminals calling themselves PNAC, laying out their plans for how they would gain back the wealth, how they would eliminate the programs that were the New Deal, the War on Poverty, Roosevelt, and all, how they would move for world domination. And Wolfowitz was pretty much the recorder and wrote in it that we all recognize that we will need a new Pearl Harbor type of an event to get the people behind our invasion of Iraq. So these are criminals beyond comprehension. Roe is one of the prime brains of it all, but DeLay, Cheney, these are all people that think in a way that anything they choose to do, they're justified in doing it. They have that kind of logic about them. They are not driven by conscience, not even a little bit. Greed, desire for power, that drives them.
Conscience is not a word they know.
No,
I am convinced
it
of that.
Isn't. See, because I have been studying this day, 9/11 since day one, and believe me, there is no way in hell that it could have happened without a great deal of cooperation from the White House that needed its new Pearl Harbor. They've been saying that from day one. Who kept our Air Force on the ground? How do they explain seismic detections just prior to each building coming down? Did you know that seismographs detected massive jolts right at the base of those buildings right just before they fell?
I've heard that.
That Flight 97, it was to be covered by the passengers because it was running late and they all knew what they were in for, so they thought, well, we're going to get killed anyway, let's jump them. They did. They were on cell phones, a lot of them, calling down saying, we've recovered the plane, we have a pilot, we're going to be safe. Moments later, one of them on the cell phone reports a big thud out on the right wing. The engine comes loose. Smoke is coming out of the wing. And they lose control of it, and it crashes. Why would they shoot down a plane knowing that the passengers had recovered it? Why would they do that? And there's just so much about that day that really just troubles the hell out of me.
Well, there are many unanswered questions on 9/11, and there will continue to be.
And these are psychopaths.
More.
These guys are psychopaths. They will plot and do anything. They plan to steal the government by rigging elections, gaining, you know, claiming control of Christianity, appealing to sexual fears, and voting machines, untraceable voting machines. They still got the things.
Well, you know, one of the things that scares me is now even one of the PNAC guys is turning against him. Old Bill Kristol, you know, he's one of the founding members of the PNAC group. He's turning against Bush right now. I think, ooh. Yeah.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's calling for Rumsfeld to get out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Amazing.
Do expand on that a bit if you can during the program. Thank you so much for being there, Guy.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for your call, Dave.
All right.
Yeah, Bill Kristol, one of the founding members of the Progress for New American Century Group, is calling for Donald Rumsfeld to get out of town along with several other fellows that we know. I think Ted Kennedy and Robert Byrd would gladly escort him out of town. Personally, I wouldn't want to be in the man's company. Much of what I hear from in Washington from people that know, and I do know people who know him firsthand, been around him quite a little bit. They tell me that he is one of the most detestable human beings that they've ever met. I'm talking about Donald Rumsfeld. He's so full of himself. He's always right, never made a mistake in his life, thinks he is so much better than everybody else, it isn't funny. Such is the administration of the Bush people. They've surrounded themselves with people like that. And then you've got Karl Rove. Good old Karl Rove. And Karl Rove has been a lousy, dirty trickster since the Nixon days. When he was in college, he started dirty tricks for Nixon. They have, you know, who else? I'm trying to think. I can't think of his name right now. But, you know, they got a couple of the Watergate guys in this administration. They didn't mess around. They went for the gusto. They've got a real gang of thugs. And that's what I'll call them because that's what they are. Here we have Dick Cheney this past week. Well, they're in their last throes. They're in their last throes. And then you've got the generals on the ground over again. Well, I don't think so. I don't want to say anything to disagree with the vice president. But attacks are up. The the intensity of the attacks are up. The bombs are more powerful. They're learning new things every day. Hey, it's coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to pause for a break right now here at the Guy James Show, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't you go anywhere.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG. When there's a hurricane, getting accurate information fast can mean the difference between life and death. Last year, Southwest Florida depended on the Wink News team for full, up-to-the-minute hurricane information. From the first call,
moving towards the Southwest Florida coastline,
throughout the storm until the danger was past. This hurricane season depends on the Wink News team to keep you on top of alerts, evacuation orders, and the information you need to protect your family. Trust Wink News, Southwest Florida's Hurricane Central. Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Here's your iced tea.
How'd you know I wanted iced tea?
I just knew.
Intuitiveness. The quality of knowing what the other person needs without even being told. A rare quality. But one that, surprisingly enough, you can find with a car. The Lexus LS. All right. So the LS isn't warm and cuddly like a person, but it is intuitive. Take, for example, available laser-guided cruise control that senses when you're too close to the car traveling ahead and slows you down. And brake assist that feels if you're making a panic stop and applies maximum braking force. Then there's the adaptive front lighting system, which swivels the headlights into a turn as you turn. Granted, you may not want to have a candlelit dinner with the LS, but at least you know it's a relationship that will last. These days, that's saying a lot.
You know what I'm thinking right now, looking at you in the moonlight?
You're thinking you'd like to play golf.
You amaze me.
Nothing to it.
See Scanlon Lexus of Fort Myers or Jermaine Lexus of Naples, or visit Lexus.com.
Dynamic laser cruise control and brake assist are not substitutes for safe and attentive driving.
One voice. It can get the point across, but it only carries so far. Add a voice. It's richer, louder, but that has limits too. Add a third voice. It's even more powerful. Add another, and another, and many, many more. And we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups, faith groups, civic organizations, PTAs, employers, and many others in your community organize their resources and focus them where they're needed most, like fighting to keep kids away from drugs. Ask a group that you belong to if they should belong to a community coalition. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org and they'll tell you exactly how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when we get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Mandy Connell from Daybreak. Have you got something to say? The Wink WNOG Soapbox will be open from noon to 2 this Wednesday at Gulf Coast Dodge. You rant, we record, and then you listen to Daybreak from 6 to 9 weekdays to hear it on the air. We'll also have Wink WNOG coffee mugs with flowers from Ruth Messmer Flores and tickets for a very special performance by astronaut Story Musgrove. So stop by Gulf Coast Dodge Wednesday from noon to 2. I'll see you there.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. And now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Call us toll free 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203 and 04, 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570. Hey, I'm going to give you some information in a little while, in a short while, on how to donate to the program. I'll be giving you an address, so I'm going to give you a chance to get your pen and pencil out right now, okay? Have you heard all the saber rattling the Bush administration has been doing lately? A little later, we're going to talk to Scott Ritter, and he's going to tell us about what he thinks is going on in Iran, about how the Bush administration is poised to go to war against Iran. And baby, that's one animal. If they think it's bad in Iraq, and then all this noise we've been hearing about Syria, constantly hearing about all the foreign fighters crossing over from Syria and crossing over from Iran. You know, one thing that strikes me as odd, you get Rumsfeld and you get General Meyer, and you're talking about all these foreign fighters coming. Of course, one of the generals on the ground over there, I can't think of his name, I'll look it up here a little later, said about 99% of them are Iraqis. Okay? Yeah, there's some foreign fighters, of course. They're coming in there and getting trained to be good little terrorists. But are there none from a certain country that borders Iraq? Are there no terrorist fighters coming over from Saudi Arabia, huh? Haven't heard that, have you? They're coming from Syria, they're coming from Iran, but you haven't heard them coming from Saudi Arabia. Why don't we hear about that? Why not? They got the Wahhabists, the Muslims there, radical sect. 19 of the bombers were from Saudi Arabia, and there's no foreign fighters coming in from Saudi Arabia, yet our government isn't admitting a single one of them. I wonder why. You know, here we are laying it on Iran and Syria for not controlling their borders and keeping the foreign fighters within their borders. We can't even control our borders. With the exotic technology we have in this country, our borders are as porous as a sponge. Maybe a sponge is not the right word. A sieve, a screen door, whatever. We can't protect our own borders with Mexico and Canada. Even our shores we can't protect properly. And we're criticizing Syria and Iran for letting people cross their borders? Come on. Come on, you people. What's up with that, huh? Going to go back to the phones right now. Let's see who we have here. We've got Juanita in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Juanita.
Hey. I'll tell you, you had some great calls in, and that was a great statement that she made. I missed the very first part of it, but I love what Julio said.
Well, Julio...
Democrats should be listening to that.
Julio's right on the money. He's
he sure
right
is.
Money. Yeah.
I'm calling about... like I told, you know, the call of the person answered the phone. I can't remember his name, but
that would be Ron.
Yeah, Ron. He's so nice. Anyway, like I said, I'm calling about good old Karl Rove, or bad old Karl Rove, or evil old Karl Rove. In my opinion, he's evil, and I think it's the devil is in control of our country now. And you know, Jesus said he's a liar. Truth is not in him. He's a murderer from the beginning. And if you study Bush's life, or the president's life, you'll find out that every business he was in turned to dust except for him. He always came out the winner.
Always.
And but anyway, I wanted to say about, I was watching C-SPAN yesterday morning and people calling in, and every time the Democrats would make a point, you know, the Republicans would call in and say, oh, I know what they are. They're liberals. And I thought, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So?
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, and talking about 9/11, and Rove is in charge of all this stuff, you know.
Well, he's the brains.
Yeah.
He and Cheney are the brains.
Right. But anyway, I was thinking about when at 9/11, when that happened, I was supportive of Bush.
Of course.
I didn't know about the war or what to do, but I was supportive of him. I thought, you know, I thought the speech was great. And it didn't take too long to figure things out. But anyway, he really blew it as far as, if he would have been a real Christian, he had what a wonderful opportunity. Because we were all of one accord, the world was on our side. And you know what? I even remember it being reported that Saddam said his condolences about the towers. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah. Now
we blew it. Our country blew it.
Absolutely. He gave away a ton of goodwill. Just threw it back in everybody's faces.
Right.
We need to thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Annie in Fort Myers. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Guy. This is Annie in Fort Myers.
Yes. Nice to hear from you.
Led into what I wanted to say, and that is that the whole Christian thing is just absurd to me, that they can just be under this cloak of Christianity, but they don't act like any Christian I was ever led to believe. I mean, they don't believe in helping the poor. Everything they do is for the money changers. It's not for the poor people or the people who need help. My favorite T-shirt is Jesus was a liberal.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to learn to be a little bit more proud of being liberals because, frankly, I think we're on the right side, the correct side. Let me put that way. My son says he's going to send me a new T-shirt that says, Jesus is going to slap you silly. It really kind of cracked me up. It's
advantage
of that, and good people are falling for it. I don't understand how they're getting away with that.
Well, Annie, I think it goes right back to, you know, I'm very biased on the subject, but it goes back to owning the media. If you are able to pound people over and over and over again 24/7, you're going to get them to believe your message, a good share of them anyway.
Yeah.
And they've done it, and they've done a masterful job of getting control of the media, a masterful job.
You tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth.
That's right. Right? That's right. It's a propaganda machine par excellence.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you, I mean, we're making little inroads on that, but that's a tough thing to fight.
Well, it is, and for every little inroad we're making, they're building a new superhighway. I'm afraid that's just how it's working right now, but we're going to keep pounding away at it.
That's true. Yeah, well, I think you're doing such a good job. It's hard to quit listening to you and pick up the phone and call.
Well, we're going to have a lot to say tonight. We're going to have Scott Ritter on a little later. Stay tuned for that. Thanks for your call. Nice to hear from you. Let's go out to San Jose, California, and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike. How are things in San Jose today?
Hey, Guy. How you doing? It's Bush Eats Beef from Democratic Underground.
All right.
I'm going to start identifying myself that way since you and I have talked a few times.
Yes.
Listen, a couple things real quick. First of all, you mentioned Ron by name, and I just want to acknowledge him for anyone who's never called your show before. He's a pro. He's very polite to people who call in, and I just think he needs a heads up for that.
He is top notch, top shelf, as we like to say.
He is. Purpose for my call, two things real quick on Karl Rove. First of all, I became politically active because of Al Franken's Lies and Liars, and that was the first time I ever heard of Karl Rove, and when I realized I didn't know who he was, I felt a little ashamed of myself. So by default, I became politically active because of Bill O'Reilly, because if he hadn't made such a stink about the book, I never would have bought it. Secondly, Bill Clinton, if you remember this, right during the election, Bill Clinton was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he made a comment about Rove, and he basically called the guy dirty. He came right out and said what he thought about him and the dirty politics, and he said, listen, Karl Rove and the Bush machine and all of these people do what they do for two reasons. First of all, they've always gotten away with it. Second of all, it works. When it stops working or when they stop getting away with it, they'll move on to something else. But as long as those two conditions are in place, they're going to do what they do. So my question for you, and I'll hang up and hear your response on the air, is if a former president of the United States calls out Karl Rove as being dirty and nothing happens, what are we supposed to do?
Oh, you're so right.
Thanks, Guy. Listen, hope the fundraising's going well, and I look forward to hearing your update, and you take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, I'll take this opportunity while he mentioned it to give you the address for our fundraiser. But of course, you can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com. And also, if you've got your pencil and paper ready, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 1-888-344-1135. I know that's a mouthful. 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. And by the way, that address is on the website at www.theguyjamesshow.com. Always be remember to put that "the" in there, The Guy James Show. Yeah, Comrade Rove, we're going to talk a lot about him tonight. You're going to hear the truth here. You'll always hear the truth here. It may hurt sometimes. That's what keeps us on the air, is we tell the truth. And we try to stay away from any BS. We try and give you facts always. We try and stand behind the facts. We try and do a lot of research. In fact, we don't try. We do a tremendous amount of research for this program each week so that we know what we're talking about. We're going to go to John down in Naples, and I understand John wants to talk to us about Ken Starr.
Yeah, I just wonder why we can't hire Ken Starr back. I mean, he got an impeachment thing going against Clinton for, you know, lying about what any married man would lie about.
Yep.
Now, the lying we got going on there now, if we could get Ken Starr back, what could he get going with that?
Yes. He's,
we need that man.
He's the dean of the law school out of Pepperdine University right now.
He's a seeker of truth.
Yeah.
I think we need him back in service.
You know, when it comes right down to it, now, I didn't like the guy.
I didn't either, but...
He
was clever enough to get Clinton, charged with impeachment.
Yeah, and when he finally
did... What could he do with Bush and Cheney and, you know, all he'd have to do is follow the money trail. These guys are getting rich out of this deal.
Oh, yeah.
There's millions of dollars missing.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to Halliburton, which somebody with a heart condition used to run.
Oh, sure.
And I wonder how that money's getting missing, and these guys are getting all these no-bid contracts, and we're just... Nobody's looking into it.
No.
I think Ken Starr could look into it.
He
can go from Whitewater to Lewinsky.
He'd have his hands full, wouldn't he?
Go from, lies to bigger lies.
Yeah, he'd have more than enough to do.
he'd be in his glory.
Ah, he sure would.
He would hire that man.
Yeah, good old Ken Starr. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, John, thank you for your call.
Okay.
And we'll get a hold of Ken Starr and see if he wants to get involved.
Okay.
We're going to have to offer him a lot of money, though.
Oh, he'll get it. There's money floating around.
You bet there's money floating around. That's right.
They'll pay him off right from the get-go.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That is one thing. When Republicans need money, they need not only snap their fingers and boom, it comes just pouring in. You get the poor Democrats, and they got to beg, borrow, and do all they can just to scratch out a few shekels now and then. Let's go to Diana in North Fort Myers.
Yeah, Guy, it's been a long week without you.
Well, I missed you, too.
Now, I wanted to call because all week long, all I've heard again is 7-year-old news, Monica Lewinsky. I've heard about the lady missing in Aruba, which... There's millions of people missing in this country right now. And I'm not saying anything against her family and that, but it's a diversion. And it's to divert away from what's going on over in Iraq. And I'm sick of them exploiting the downtrodden and the hurting. And this family is hurting, just like the Terri Schiavo, how they exploited her to take the noise away from where we should be looking at. You know, I mean, I'm so sick of it. Then I heard about flag burning. Okay, what does our flag represent? And number two, how do you get rid of a flag if it touches the ground? What's the proper way? You burn it.
Yeah.
That is the proper way. So what are they crying about, making it look like they're patriotic and not burning the flag, when that is the proper way to burn a flag? And I'll tell you, with George Bush and his cronies in office, our flag has been dragging the ground. And I'll tell you, that's the only way to purge it, because that's what it represents. Purge your country.
Our flag has been dipped in the mud over and over again.
And it's been stomped on all over the world, not just here, because of these, like I call them, what they are, organized crime family. I mean, I want to know, and you're right, how many people died when he was sitting at the ball game with Condi Rice?
Yeah.
You know, and there's something going on there. Give me a break, people. And then they talk about Bill Clinton. I mean, I called up a radio show. I won't say the other person's name. A Republican, of course. And, conservative. They're too ashamed to even call themselves Republicans now.
Yeah, have
now
you noticed that?
Now
yeah.
They're independents and they're libertarians, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But I called them up to bring out the point about Eisenhower, JFK, FDR, Abraham Lincoln. All these people had affairs while they were in the White House. You know, so it's just childish of them.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing in common. Now, I did not like Clinton. I will not admit it. I mean, I won't lie to you. I didn't like him, but I didn't like him because in 1996, when he deregulated the airwaves in this country, because this is why we're in the quagmire we're in right now. And I do blame him. And I did not like NAFTA. That is why all of our jobs are leaving and going overseas to China and all these other places to exploit the poor people.
Yeah, I agree with you. NAFTA was a mistake.
Yes, it was, and it is. And I'll tell you, our greatest enemy right now is ourselves, because we remain stupid and blind, and we're following a big ram right over a cliff.
Yeah.
And not asking questions. And we need to take our airways back. If that isn't one of the major platforms of the Democratic Party on this next election, then you know what, guy? I'm a person without a party, because I am an independent. I got in politics during the Vietnam War. I stayed silent for many years. Let it go on, you know, what will, what may. And then when Bush came into power, that's when I got political again, because this is worse than Vietnam, in my estimation.
Diane, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Scott.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, this is a mess. And you know what? And I don't want to be negative about this all the time. I guess I am negative about it. There's some hard heads in the Democratic Party. There's some hard heads in the Democratic leadership, locally on up. Why? Because nobody's paying attention to the disparity in the media. They look at me and go, hey, guy, you're biased about this. Yes, I am biased about this, but it's something I know a lot about. I know a lot about it. And we're getting killed in the media every single day. Do you think that if there was a fair media that Karl Rove could have gotten away with what he did this week without apologizing? I wouldn't take his apology anyway. The guy's a rat. Apology from him means nothing, because you know he wouldn't mean it. He's just a rat. But, you know, the Downing Street memos, starting to get a little bit of legs, you know, story's starting to take off a little bit, and then all of a sudden Karl Rove solved the story. You know, the Downing Street memos, or as they should be called, the Downing Street minutes, and they have been confirmed to be authentic. The most explosive story to come on against since the tapes of Watergate, when they were exposed. It is. It's the most explosive story about a government since that time. And there's been precious little stories about it, because the right wing has kept it out of the mainstream media for the most part. They've done a masterful job on it. I give them credit. They've swept it aside. Ah, never mind. Just, you know. And what have the Democrats done about it? Almost nothing. Here we have John Kerry finally getting a letter up from senators to bring it to the floor. And yeah, how many was it? I think 8 or 9 senators is all he could get to sign it. Of course, there's all the petty bickering that goes on back and forth between, well, you know, if Kerry got it up, I won't sign it. Hillary didn't sign it, and who else didn't sign it? You got 100 people in there who all think they ought to be president of the United States. So there's lots of jealousies that go on in the in the United States Senate. But it's a shame. The Democrats speak with 45 different voices, and the Republicans speak with 55. Let's head on up to Lehigh, Florida, and talk to Marie. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Guy. I get so angry. I'm telling you, there are times I sit and shed tears over this craziness that's going on in Washington. I have a bumper sticker on my car, and the bumper sticker reads, "Impeach Bush, son of the Bush."
Mm.
I have so many people come to me and say I like it, I love it, and they're from Lehigh, and with all this crap and putting up with this crazy, mixed-up, egotistical madman, why can't these Democrats in Lehigh come to our meetings and start doing something about it? It makes me angry.
Oh, we've got just a bunch of meek little lambs.
Well, it's not right, and they're afraid to come out. And what can we do to get this man out of office and have to put up with all his junk? It scares me.
There's never been in the history of this country a president more guilty of impeachable offenses than this man in office right now. If we had a fair Congress in there right now, he would be on trial right now, an impeachment trial.
Well, I wish those Democrats would wake up and start doing something. I am so sick and tired of hearing them call the Democrats, the liberals, you know, not standing up for their rights and coming out and speaking what they should talk about, and it makes me very angry.
Well, Marie, I most certainly agree. And my blood pressure gets up there. It certainly does. I can feel my face get flushed when I start watching some of these things and hearing people like Karl Rove get up and speak. Marie, thank you for your call.
Well, you're welcome. Good night.
Bye now. Well, we're going to go talk to Bill up in Ohio. Hi, Bill. Are you in Toledo?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Good evening, Guy. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm good.
Listen, Guy, maybe you can help me out. I was wondering if you could know who it was, or if you would know, who it was this week that compared Bush to Abraham Lincoln on how Lincoln felt when the war was going bad and that.
Oh, God, I hope nobody made that comparison.
There was someone
that
made a comparison between Bush and how he felt about the war. And how
my apologies to all the descendants of Abraham Lincoln.
The war.
Oh, my God. First, they've compared him to Churchill a while back, and now to Abraham. Oh, Bill, you have not made my day with that one. Mm.
Yes. Well, listen, I want to give you a quote from somebody, if I could, Guy.
Yes.
It says, "Allow the president to invade a neighboring nation whenever he shall deem it necessary to repel an invasion, and you allow him to do so whenever he may choose to say he deems it necessary for such a purpose, and you allow him to make war at pleasure. If today he should choose to say he thinks it's necessary to invade Canada to prevent the British from invading us, how could you stop him? You may say to him, I see no probability of the British invading us, but he will say to you, be silent, I see it if you don't."
Hmm.
And this is a quote from Abraham Lincoln in letters to William H. Henry Dunn.
Well,
February the 15th of 1948.
Abraham Lincoln was a wise man, and then any comparison between him and George Bush is laughable.
And then I just wanted to say to you on maybe a little bit of a lighter note that Governor Taft has said in Ohio that he will refuse to resign.
Well, you know, I just read that he's now the lowest-rated governor of all the states. He's got a 19% favorable rating. Now, that is that's dragging the bottom.
I'm sure you heard about the golf.
Oh, yes. It turns out that Governor Taft, Bob Taft, has a low. He turns out he loves to play freebie golf with the lobbyist up in Ohio.
Well, we've got a great golf club here in Toledo, Inverness.
Oh, Inverness, of course. And you got that beautiful Sylvania Country Club. I've played it, and the Sylvania Country Club as well.
The Sylvania Country Club, yeah.
Ah, yeah. They had the U.S. Open there before.
And I guess Snow played there with, I believe it was either Taft or Noe before he took over what's-his-name's place as secretary.
Oh, we're finding out that Taft and Noe have been quite chummy over the years, and now we find out the governor's played a lot of golf, on unpaid golf with the lobbyists and so forth. It's going to get worse before it gets better in Ohio. So
yeah, this Karl Rove, that what he said, and then comparing to what Dick Durbin said, there's no comparison.
None at all. Got to go, Bill. We got the news at the top of the hour, and I thank you for calling.
Listen, thank you so much, Guy, and I really look forward to talking to you.
Okay.
And what a great show.
Got to roll. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, you're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it. Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Not one, but six people found dead in Arizona. Four of the victims were kids located inside a Yuma home with an adult woman, and a man was found in the backyard with a gunshot wound. Police releasing a sketch of the possible shooter.
We put caution out on him. The subject was armed or believed to be armed. The street still remains partially cordoned off.
Officer Clint Norred, police got a call last night about shots fired at the house and found the bodies a short time later. Victory, the ultimate goal. In his weekly radio address, President Bush drumming up support for the Iraq War, saying the Iraqi people are growing in optimism and hope.
Next Tuesday is the first anniversary of the moment the Iraqi people reclaimed their free and sovereign nation. To mark that historic date, I will travel to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to speak to our troops and the American people about our mission in Iraq, why it remains important to our safety here at home, and our two-track strategy for victory.
That address will be nationally televised Tuesday night. Democrats have a different take on the situation in Iraq.
This war has been conducted with tactical and strategic incompetence. And 2 years later, America finds itself more isolated than ever before.
Former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski delivering the Democratic radio response. From 2 to 4, the American death toll in an attack in Fallujah, now up to 4 Marines. Terrorists not letting up the assault on American civilians and Iraqi law enforcement.
8 Iraqi police officers are dead after an ambush in the western city of Ramadi. It happened late last night. About 20 armed men attacked a police checkpoint. An Iraqi police spokesman says insurgents first stopped to the checkpoint, then they accused the officers of being collaborators with the Americans before opening fire on them.
Fox's David McDougall reporting from Baghdad. You are listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
There's nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
But because we had a plan, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. Prepare your business today by visiting www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Hey, where were you last year? What happened to your hair? Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Small water stain on your ceiling.
Back next.
Leaking? It probably means it's been leaking for years. King Roofing has developed techniques over the past 25 years to fix leaky roofs to last. In fact, King Roofing is one of the only roofing companies in this area that has 3 specialty crews that only do repairs. Call King Roofing today, because a small water stain on your ceiling means a larger problem with your roof.
You should have. Every candle.
King Roofing. Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Welcome to the Guy James Show. Any first-time listeners out there tonight, are you driving down Route 75, Interstate 75 in Florida, and got your radio on for the first time, and you're a conservative, and you're going, oh my God, there's a liberal guy on the radio. Why, if that's what you're thinking, you can call us, 479-5540 right here in Lee County, Florida, and 263-6570 in Collier County. Imagine what a shock that must be. You're here in Southwest Florida, and you know, about, what, 70% Republicans around here, or Republicans. And you've got it all your own way. You've got 24/7 right-wing talk on. And you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and you've got some right-winger on, and it comes to the top of the hour, and it changes, and you go in, and there's the Guy James Show on. It must be, you'd have to pull over to the side of the road, wouldn't you? It'd be a terrible shock. I hope I haven't caused anybody severe physical problems over that. I certainly hope not, but it's, and that's the way it is. And in this community, for those of you around the country, in California and Minnesota and Connecticut and Ohio and all the rest of the places around the country where you call from, and some of our listeners in foreign countries, particularly, and we got quite a little group over in South Korea that listens to the program now, but, you know, in some communities, and I won't mention any names, but I want you to know just how prevalent right-wing radio is where I live. In some communities, without mentioning any names, they give a convicted felon more opportunities to do talk radio than they do a veteran broadcaster. You see, it's all what certain political philosophy that you have that agrees with the owners. It's not the quality of person you are or whether or not you have any on-air ability. It hasn't got anything to do with it. It's got a lot to do with your political philosophy. And to some folks, some employers, some radio folks, that's all that matters. I didn't mention any names. But if you get my drift. You know, I'd like for you to give me a call. 888, Ron's looking at me kind of funny. Yeah, he's a grin from ear to ear on that one. I'd like you to give me a call, 888-602, a moment of levity. 602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Love to hear from you, 479-5540 here locally. And if you live down in the southern climes here in Collier County, Florida, down Naples Way, 263-6570. We've all heard this week, I hope you all have. In fact, let me see if I can find that for you. Yeah, Ron, I'm going to play this Karl Rove thing here, so some of the people might not know what I'm talking about. Here we go.
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 and the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding to our attackers.
Nice, huh? Isn't that nice what Karl Rove said? You all heard that attack on liberal Democrats, and he did that this week. And in doing that, he proved once again that not only is he an outrageous liar, But he's got nothing but scorn and contempt for the very same people who pulled the lever for George W. Bush in this past election. That's right, you. A lot of you listening right now that pulled the lever for George W. Bush. Karl Rove thinks you're an idiot. And I'll go on to explain that. You know, he showed that he knows that he and his people know exactly what they're dealing with a group of voters who will believe anything he and his pals throw up in front of them. Joe McCarthy. Joe McCarthy, that proud Republican, would be so proud of Karl Rove this week. So proud. You know, he knows that he can't deal with the truth, or many of his followers will stray off the reservation. So he attacks the Democrats, proving once again that he knows nothing, nothing about patriotism. But even in horrible matters like 9/11, he's a partisan of the highest order. Yeah, we're all partisan. But over 9/11, you know, that's all that matters to him and the Bush people. That is all that matters. You know, I've heard some of my Democratic friends call him crazy. He's crazy like a fox. He knows who his audience is, and he's playing them like a fiddle. He knows he can convince them that the moon's made out of green cheese if he has to, and some of his arguments are just about that ridiculous. But his speech the other night was nothing more than another attempt to divert public attention away from the horrible mistakes of this administration, and they are many. And he's running a game of political, what do you call that game, the three-card Monty that they play in New York. I mean, you know, much of the public is focusing on the terrible failures of the Iraq War, and he's trying to take their attention away from the war and turn it on the Democrats. The polls now show that the majority of Americans have figured out that they've been lied to about this war from the very start. The polls also show that the majority of Americans doubt Bush's ability to resolve the Iraqi situation in a suitable manner. Got real low marks on that. And it's looking more and more like another Vietnam, and Bush and his people are trying their best to focus the attention on other matters. Wouldn't you if you're in their spot? Even some of his Republican politician pals have jumped off his burning ship. Oh, yeah. And Rove realizes that Bush's initiatives on most matters, they're tanking. You know, his initiatives on Social Security and his ridiculous nomination of John Bolton for UN ambassador. So to take the heat off of Junior Bush's almost total failure as a president, Rove goes on the attack. He thinks that he can repeat his success of the post-9/11 era and blame the Democrats for everything. He thinks he can still get away with calling anyone who opposes Bush's adventures unpatriotic or un-American. He's done plenty of that. They all have. That's not going to work anymore, because the polls are showing us that most Americans have gotten wise to Rove's game. You know, Rove's despicable charges against the Democrats this week are untrue, and anyone who remembers the events following 9/11 knows they're untrue. Think back on that time. The truth is that a huge majority of liberal Democrats stood shoulder to shoulder with Bush regarding his initial decision to invade Afghanistan and hunt down Osama bin Laden. I know of few people, very few, who disagreed with that decision. And do you remember the night that Bush gave his speech to Congress a week or so after 9/11? I remember it. I'll always remember it. Do you remember any dissent that evening, Carl? I'll answer that one for you. The answer is no, because there was no dissent in Congress. The two parties were solidly united that night, but curiously, Karl Rove doesn't remember that, does he? No, selective memory, Karl. The Democratic Party leadership said we needed to speak with one voice, and it was only one voice that was heard that night. All of the bitter partisanship was forgotten, and the congressional leaders from both parties united against that unspeakable tragedy of 9/11 and those who perpetrated that crime. Evidently, Karl Rove, though, doesn't remember much of that night, because I found a quote from then-Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, which says this, and I quote, see if this lines up with what Karl Rove said. And I quote from Trent Lott. This is from the night of that speech. Tonight there is no opposition party. We stand here united, not as Republicans or Democrats, not as Southerners or Westerners or Midwesterners or Easterners, but as Americans. That by Trent Lott. Does that square with what Karl Rove said? Absolutely not. And then Tom Daschle that very night said, and I quote, "We want President Bush to know, we want the world to know that he can depend on us," unquote. I guess Karl Rove just didn't hear those words that night, did he? Oh, he heard them, all right. But despite the unity of that evening in the Capitol building, we know that Karl Rove was planning and plotting behind the scenes to use 9/11 as a political tool. He was planning to rub Daschle's words right back into his face. He was planning on turning the whole thing around and using it against the Democrats for political gain. If anyone was behaving in an un-American fashion, it most certainly was Karl Rove. Before any 9/11 victims' bodies were even committed to the ground, Rove was scheming and planning ways to use their deaths as a political tool against his political enemies. He didn't believe in the United We Stand effort. He wanted to divide us and demonize the Democrats for Bush's political gain. That's what he was all about. How many people know this, that only a few months after 9/11, Rove spoke at a very quietly, almost secret meeting of the RNC down in Austin, Texas? And these are his words, and I quote, "We can go to the country on this issue," he's talking about 9/11, "because they trust the Republican Party to do a better job of protecting and strengthening America's military might and thereby protecting America," unquote. You know, Rove's agenda was laid out early on after 9/11. He was going to use the tragic deaths of 3,000 Americans for Bush's political gain no matter what. And I doubt there's ever been a more shameful, slanderous, underhanded example of absolutely ruthless party politics than this week's speech by Karl Rove. The gloves are off. And those of us he slandered had better realize that we're in a bloody, vicious fight with the dirtiest fighter the Republicans have ever had. Joe McCarthy would be in awe. In awe of Karl Rasputin Rove. And I don't think there could be any more shameful tribute than that. He is another Joe McCarthy, only he's better at what he does. God help us. Neil in Cape Coral. Hi, Neil.
Yeah, Guy, I got a good question for you.
Yeah.
Karl Rove never mentioned Democrats. He did mention "Move On," and he did quote "Move On" from 9/12.
You want me to play it for you again?
I heard it over and over. He never said the word Democrat. He said liberal.
Okay, who does he mean by that?
He mentioned MoveOn.org.
No, come on, you're not going to try that, are you? You're going to backtrack on what he said now?
I sure am.
You're going to say?
I know exactly what he said.
You did?
And I also
did he say liberals? Who is that? I'm a liberal.
I don't care if you're liberal or you're a conservative. He did not say liberal Democrats.
He said liberals, pal. He said liberals. Who was he talking about?
There are liberal Republicans, too. He was talking about liberals. And if you go back to 9/12, oh, Guy, you know, you're an idiot. It's a lie. You don't want people to talk.
I'll let you talk. I'll let you go on and on. You're only making yourself sound like an idiot. Go on.
No, go on.
Talk some more. Tell us about what Karl Rove meant that night. Go ahead and mention what Karl Rove meant. What did he mean anyway?
He meant liberals. Move On and all the liberal groups.
Yeah?
Yep.
And I'm a liberal, and everybody that pulled the lever for John Kerry was a liberal.
Not everybody, no.
Well, almost everybody. Let's put it that way.
That might be.
But you're claiming Karl Rove didn't mean Democrats when he said that.
Nope, he didn't mean that.
Oh, man.
He meant Move On. Go to 9/12.
Did you hear what I just read from the speech he gave in front of the RNC?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
Did you quote from MoveOn.org 9/12 posting about what we should do and not fight back? No.
To tell you the truth, I know very little about MoveOn.org.
Well, that's the biggest money in the Democratic Party right now.
Oh.
So guess what?
You must listen to Rush Limbaugh every day, huh?
No, I don't. I work every day.
You listen to Sean Hannity? Where do you get your information, Neil?
Right off the internet.
Do you? Where? Maybe Newsmax?
No, all kinds of sites. I go to all. doesn't matter what
site. Well, I don't care what site you went to. It had to be some right-wing site if you don't think Karl Rove was talking about the Democrats the other day.
No, he wasn't. He didn't mention the word Democrat.
Didn't mention them, huh?
Nope.
Didn't mention them. So he doesn't think...
people don't want to accept that. That's too bad.
I accept it. I advertise myself as a liberal. He was talking about me.
Right. But all politicians in Washington don't want to be identified as a liberal.
And why is that?
Because they can't get elected.
Because people like Karl Rove have tried and succeeded in making liberal a dirty word because they own the media, lock, stock, and barrel.
Who does?
What do you mean, who does? How many talk shows are on the air? Do you want to know? Tell me how many liberal ones there are here?
That's who makes money, because they won't listen to liberals, the talk shows.
Do you think a liberal could get on the air around here?
Why aren't you in a good prime time? Because you can't get any sponsorship for that time.
You think if this show was on at a prime time, we couldn't get sponsors?
That's right.
Let me educate you on something, my friend. No liberal is ever going to get a primetime show around here. I don't care if Rush Limbaugh turned liberal tomorrow, he'd be off the air in this area.
You used to be on a different time on a weeknight, not on a dead Saturday night when everybody's out partying and nobody's listening.
I was never on the weeknights. I'm not going to argue with you about it.
I'm not either.
They own the media. They own the media around here. You know it's 400 hours nationwide to about 40.
Guess what? People don't want to listen to liberals.
They will if they're there, and they're proving it. Lots of places in this country where there's liberal radios, they're beating the ratings of the conservatives. But for you to call up here and say that Karl Rove didn't mean Democrats is absolutely laughable, and I want you to know that makes you sound very, very foolish, Neil. Let me see here. Let's go to John in Fort Myers.
That was a beautiful call.
Wasn't it?
I love it.
It's very typical, though.
I got news for this gentleman. I have friends that live in areas where Air America plays. And when it began, they loved it. And now they're not liking it as well. And you know why? Because there's so many more ads on there than there used to be. So apparently sponsors have realized that there are people who will buy their products, and it's to their best interest to advertise and support those shows. Now, in this town, we don't have ownership of our stations that will allow liberals to come on here. I'm surprised you're on. I don't think people realize this. The management of these stations and the ownership wants only this conservative thing. And, of course, I'm tired of labels. I don't know who a liberal is. I don't know who a conservative is. I find some people that just don't agree with a lot of the things that are going on here.
Well, I do know who Karl Rove was talking about there.
Absolutely. And this is how he operates. He always has somebody else do his dirty work, or he implies. Liberals and Democrats have been associated for years in Limbaugh's rhetoric. So if you're going to talk about a liberal, the assumption is you're talking about a Democrat.
Absolutely.
And Karl Rove was just trying to be tricky and fool people, and obviously fool this man, and he wants his constituency out there to believe he's a goody-two-shoes guy. I look at this administration the same way I look at these guys that start fires, and then they come along and they're going to save the fair maiden from the burning building. This war... it's so ridiculous. First of all, if we're going to go to war, let the military fight the war, not civilians. The war plan was written by a lawyer in the Pentagon who's left now. I don't know what his name was. Donald Rumsfeld knows nothing about fighting war. It's very obvious. And I watched those hearings this week, and his generals just don't agree with him. It must be real conversations when they're alone, but those hearings were something to watch. The generals are saying just the opposite of what Rumsfeld is saying. I don't know where Rumsfeld is, his head is at.
Oh, yeah, and then you hear Cheney say that it's in its last throes, and you hear one of the generals on the ground over there get up and directly contradict what Cheney said.
And apologize for having to contradict what the vice president said. And you know, when you watch, there's a frontline report about Cheney's war, or Rumsfeld's war. And when you watch that, you see how many generals Rumsfeld intimidated into retiring early. And this administration operates on intimidation. if you say something in opposition, they try to rein you royally because you're a bad person. You're going against what we say. And it's just intimidation everywhere. I don't know why people don't see that. But they allow themselves to continue to be intimidated by these guys. Now, you know, we've had several things happen this week, and one of them, I think, went unnoticed. The Supreme Court ruling, of course, about taking your land now is really something. But the other one was the government's hired a private agency to go into the schools and get all the records of students and their grades. This is done under the No Child Left Behind Act. This is what makes it legal. Now, I just heard in this last week where people are talking about, well, the draft may have to come back. A few weeks ago it was, oh, no, we're never going to have a draft. Well, when you gather all this information about these students and then they institute the draft again, who do you think they're going to draft first? All these students that are high-grade students, excelled in their schoolwork and so forth, to be cannon fodder in a war that we shouldn't be into.
And that's the way it always works.
Yeah, and it may not be the Iraqi war. It may be some other war somewhere. But here you go. We're lining these kids up to be drafted when the draft comes back, folks. And it's going to happen, and it's sad.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, they keep saying the draft's not going to come back, but you couldn't prove it by me. And I got a kick out of it. The Young Republicans had their convention, their big seminar, whatever they wanted to call it, this past week, and they went into and interviewed a bunch of them and said if they were, are they going to join the war effort? Why, it was surprising what the guys said. Well, no, I don't think it's necessary for me to join the war effort. I can do more here at home than I could over there. I can be more patriotic by backing the war here at home than I could over there. Maybe after I get out of college. But the dancing around that was, not that I blame them. I don't blame them at all. I wouldn't want to go to that war either. But I wouldn't support it on the one hand and then refuse to go on the other. I can tell you that. Let's go to Carl in Fort Myers. Hi, Carl.
Hi, guy. How are you doing?
Good.
Listen, this I call because of this Rumsfeld statement that, you know, when he was in before Congress, before the congressional hearing, and I watch C-SPAN all the time, and I watched him squirming around in his seat, you know. But what I really want to go to is that Dick Cheney says that, you know, it's the war is, they're in their last throes. He calls them terrorists. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know who they are or where they come from or what they do. But what he doesn't say is we started this. You know, we're probably the cause of these people coming in, and they have a great recruiting tool. And you know, the fact that they see the prison abuses and things like that, and they take this before their people. I mean, these young kids and everything, they're blowing themselves up every day and killing
tons
of people. And it's, you know, and then to say they're in their last throes, I think is the most ridiculous statement I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
But everybody takes it as gospel, you know. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, well, nothing's wrong here. And finally, on Dick Cheney's remarks about, not Dick Cheney, the guy who said that, Karl Rove, that the liberals were pacifist and we're going to, you know, pacify them and all that. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. And, you know, and the right wing disguises this as, they've made all kinds of excuses, you know. He's only talking about liberals. What we know who he's talking about. He's talking about anybody that votes Democratic.
That's right. Anybody that's against this administration.
That's exactly what he meant. You know, anybody with a half a brain knows that. And then they take Dick Durbin's statements and totally twist it, totally out of context, and go the opposite way.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you own the media.
Well, I know it, but it's really sad. I don't know what this country's coming to anymore. I still wake up every morning wondering, what in the heck were the people thinking Yeah. And they voted this guy in the office.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for the second time. It was just, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll give him the first time. I'll give him the first time.
Yeah, I can see where we can be, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't vote for him anytime. Second
time, oh, man. Oh,
it's
man.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, guy, thanks for
thanks for your call, Carl.
Thanks. Bye.
You know, and that guy that called, too, saying that Rove didn't mention I wonder. Neil, if you're still listening, go to www.whiterosesociety.org and listen to the archive of this show and see if you can understand how really ridiculous you sound saying that Karl Rove didn't mean Democrats, he just meant liberals, as if there's some he meant some differentiation between the two. Really, that's a real stretch. You really ought to go listen to that, if you know, really. But you can. And we want to thank our good friend Ben Birch over at White Rose Society. WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can catch these shows and download them onto your iPod and listen to Guy James show. Shame. We'll get it right. Guy James shows to your heart's content over and over again, as many as you want. There's quite a few of them on there. So visit Ben at WhiteRoseSociety.org. We really appreciate what Ben does. And also, that guy said that nobody listens to liberal radio. Well, he was listening. Well, anyway. It's time to pause for a break at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk about this evening.
A Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
I'm a little upset.
Why? Are the in-laws in town?
No, everybody wants me to spend money. Buy now, pay later. Buy two, get one free. I want to save money, not spend it.
Now how about this? Call Breeze Mortgage.
What can you do for me?
We've got the best rates, refinancing home purchases. We'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess, refi now, pay later, right?
No. Save now. Call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Breeze Mortgage Program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage, a great loan for my great home.
Jeep makes a great SUV, and Bob Taylor Jeep makes a great deal. Right now, buy new 05 Jeep Liberties at invoice price. Plus, keep the $1,500 rebate and get 0% 60-month financing. Or drive the luxurious and capable Grand Cherokee for only $269 a month. Even rugged 05 Jeep Wranglers with four-wheel drive are just $16,690 at Bob Taylor Jeep in Naples. Get a great SUV. Get a great deal. Get to Bob Taylor Jeep and get the guaranteed lowest price. Because if you find a lower price, we'll beat it or pay you $1,000. Liberties at invoice. Plus, you keep the $1,500 rebate and finance at 0% for 5 full years. Luxurious and capable Grand Cherokees, just $269 a month. And rugged 05 Jeep Wranglers with four-wheel drive, just $16,690. Right now at Bob Taylor Jeep, just north of Pine Ridge on Airport Road in Naples. See the Naples Daily News for details.
Some things just come naturally. Eating, walking, falling in love. Others are only learned. Quantum physics and driving a stick shift come to mind. There are hard lessons and there are easy lessons. And sometimes, thanks to changes around us, one of the hard ones becomes an easy one. Like knowing how to buy a home. Now that there's the Home Loan Learning Center, a website found at homeloanlearningcenter.com, the whole process of home ownership just took a big turn toward the easy. Sure, there's still plenty to do to be ready, but suddenly it's not so daunting. There's some credit stuff and figuring out how much home you can afford and understanding what the right type of loan is for you. But it's all right there at homeloanlearningcenter.com, presented in a way that's easy to understand and with helpful tools that make it easy to act on. Home Loan Learning Center comes to you as a public service from the people who invest in communities, the Mortgage Bankers Association. Try it. Just log on to www.homeloanlearningcenter.com.
This is today's tip for parents from the Parent Institute. I'm Dr. John Wherry. Parents want children to be respectful. If you feel your child isn't respectful to you and others, think about whether you are respectful to him. Here's a 4-question quiz about respect. Answer yes or no. 1. I try to stop and listen when my child really wants to tell me something. 2. I'm careful to be fair, listening to my child's side before making a decision. 3. I'm courteous to my child, saying excuse me, thank you, please, and I don't say shut up. And four, I honor my child's privacy, giving him some time to be alone. I don't open his mail or listen in on phone conversations. If you answered yes to most of these questions, you're showing your child reasonable respect. For help on building respect in children, visit the Parent Institute website at radio.parentinstitute.com.
Obesity rates in the U.S. are increasing at an alarming rate. Proper diet is essential for weight control, and 5 servings of fruit and vegetables each day can make a positive impact. Fresh peaches, plums, and nectarines contain vitamins A and C and potassium and fiber. Parents can help children achieve a healthy diet.
I love it when my mom gives me fresh fruit. It's fun to try her smoothies. And I like it when she makes peanut butter sandwiches with peaches, plums, or nectarines instead of jam.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
And before we go any further here in the program, of course, you all know all of our full-time listeners that have been with us a long time. Don't have to remind you who I'm talking about. The great Jeff Mattson, they had that big tribute to him last Saturday night at Don't Tell Mamas in New York City. And from what I understand, it was quite a night, and it was enjoyed by all. And coming up, in regard to Jeff Mattson, once again, our New York Bureau, at the they're going to call it 15 Years of Hugs and Stuff show on July the 6th at the Encore on West 47th Street in New York City. It's a cabaret hotline online. We'll present the Jeff Mattson Award to a person or person showing outstanding excellence, talent, and creativity in cabaret in the field of performance, musical direction, writing, songwriting, directing, and or graphic design. I think Jeff was good at just about all those. And this is going to be the first time the award or awards will be given in the future. I'm going to ask members of Cabaret Hotline Online to submit nominations for this award in the various fields that we listed. And the committee will be formed to assess the nominations and recommend recipients of the Jeff Mattson Award. So that's a wonderful thing. And it's great to have his name remembered that way. We'll always remember Jeff on this program. And we had a gentleman talking about how we don't have sponsors, and I would like to I think right now we're going to go to our new sponsor, one of our new sponsors of the program.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
All right, new sponsor of the show right there. And, of course, we'll be playing their ad again a little later on in the program, so stay tuned for that. Always good to have a new sponsor of the program. Let's give you the phone numbers, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. 479-5540 here locally and 263-6570 if you're in Collier County. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
It's good to hear from you.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I want to back you up on two things you said tonight. One is the way the information is being controlled, and the other one is how dangerous this religious right is. Capital Gang has been on television for 17 years. And it's gone black. It's not going to be on anymore. Call it a coincidence. Call it capitalism. Call it whatever you want. But that was one place where you got both sides of the story, and it's gone.
I didn't know that.
The second thing is about the religious right and their viewpoint on the environment. Most people of all religions believe you're supposed to take care of the earth, but this certain fringe of Christian right believe, why worry? Armageddon's going to blow it up, so why should we be concerned about the fact that the air is being ruined once and for all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who was it? The former, I can't think of his name, that weasel that was the head of the Department of Interior.
Yeah. Oh.
He actually said that. Why do we need to worry about it? Because, the rapture's coming.
Well, that's great to have somebody like that in charge of the environment for us. On this thing about Karl Rove, I mean, the right wing invested so much into trying to tie 9/11 and Iraq together. They never mentioned 9/11 without saying Iraq, and they still believe that the American people are so stupid that they forgot all about Afghanistan. When we were totally united, the whole wide world was with us, the British were with us, the world was with us, and we only started to divide up when we decided on this act of aggression to go into another country, which was called a preemptive strike. I call it aggression. So if he had any truth in him at all, he would have not said anything about 9/11. He would have said that the liberals didn't like our act of aggression.
You know, Bill, the part that just amazes me, and I know you and a lot of our listeners as well, is that the people like a caller we had a little while ago and countless other people around the country haven't figured out yet that they've been played for suckers by this administration.
Exactly.
And I just can't get over the numbers of them. I mean, of course, we know the numbers are falling drastically, but there's still those hardcore, and I want them to know, and they should know, that they're in the vast minority now.
Well, Jerry Falwell, or Pat Robertson, before he lost his tax exemption, he was very careful how he said things, and he always referred to the Republican Party as the party of the family.
Yes.
So that means if you, the gay rights and the abortion, everything belongs to the Democrats, but you're a good Christian, you believe in the family, and it was Jerry Falwell, and mostly, Pat Robertson said that, but Jerry Falwell's the one that came on right after 9/11 and didn't use the word Democrat, but everybody knew what he meant when he said, God is punishing us for what those Democrats do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And why has our president lost his mind on this Social Security thing? The more he talks, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
He's got 20% support. And when the members of Congress from your own party, remember what happened to Richard Nixon when the Republicans finally came over and told him the game was up? And our president's been told the game is up, and he won't back down. What is wrong with his mind?
Oh, and even on the war, you got people like Lindsey Graham starting to jump ship.
That's right. And the one final thing I want to say is, I actually heard a conservative call a talk show, and he said, and imagine that you and I are school teachers. I admire school teachers. I never was one. But when the little first and second graders and the third graders come to school, and it's obvious that they haven't had anything to eat, that our government provides them with some bread and butter and some milk. And this conservative said, if their parents get food stamps, a list should be kept, and all the children whose parents get food stamps should not be fed. Now, that is the difference between a Republican and a Democrat.
You bet.
Guys, I appreciate your show so much, and thank you.
Bill, thanks for calling. I tell you, it's true. And when he says heart-wrenching things like that, that is a huge difference between the two. I think more and more we're hearing that we need to get out of Iraq. We're starting to hear that from some Republicans now. And just as loudly, we're hearing the phrase, don't cut and run. You hear that all the time. The government wants to believe them, but with, the recent revelations about the Downing Street minutes, we know for a fact that we can't believe a single word comes out of this government. Not a single thing. I mean, they even lie about Cheney being in the hospital. You know, we're starting to hear even some the right, like Lindsey Graham, say that we may not win this war. Could it be that some of them are finally listening to the commanders on the ground, who some of them who had the guts to tell it like it is? you know, they listen to the guys in the field instead of the generals who prosecute the war from some political angle. Casualties and cost are going through the roof, and most Iraqis are worried about the terrible prospect of the civil war in their country. They've never had it this bad. By listening to Rumsfeld and Cheney, one might think it's nearly over, and the outcome's already determined to be in our favor, but nothing could be further from the truth. There's a new classified report out by the CIA, and I quote, it says, Iraq may prove to be an even more effective training ground for Islamic extremists than Afghanistan was in Al-Qaeda's early days because it is serving as a real-world laboratory for urban combat. The assessment completed last month and circulated among government agencies was described in recent days by several congressional and intelligence officials. The officials said it made clear that the war was likely to produce a dangerous legacy by dispersing to other countries Iraqi and foreign combatants more adept and better organized than they were before the conflict. They're learning. They are learning. And the Iraqi rebels are graduating, actually what it boils down to, they're graduating from the George W. Bush School of Advanced Insurgency with graduate degrees in kidnapping and assassination and car bombing. They're getting real good at it. You know, they blossom in the fertile battlefields of Iraq like little dandelions and then spread their offspring throughout the region. You know how dandelions seed the yard. That's what's happening with these terrorists. You know, you should remember that Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda network were the offspring of the Afghani anti-Soviet insurgency. The training, the networks, the ideology, they were all created under the tutelage of the U.S. in the name of anti-communism. And today, here we are, the Americans, we're still the catalyst, albeit on the other side of the equation, and in the name of yet another global crusade, here we are, providing a training ground for the terrorists of tomorrow. No matter what the ultimate outcome of this Iraq war, we're buying trouble for ourselves further down the line, and I hope a lot of you realize that. And just on the contents of the CIA assessment, the insurgents have acquired a whole new set of skills. And the CIA thinks they'll morph into a world threat, just like Al-Qaeda did. And the CIA report further says, and I quote, the threat may grow when the Iraq insurgency ends and fighters disperse. Militants could pose problems in their country of origin, such as Saudi Arabia and Jordan, and countries further afield, including the U.S. and the U.K., could also be at risk, unquote. And how many times have you heard them say, we're fighting them into Crete, so we don't have to fight them in Toledo? How many times have you heard that, or some variation of it? The truth is that we're creating a finishing school, if you will, for terrorists in Iraq. And don't be surprised one day these guys give us a display of their talents, their newfound talents, that makes 9/11 look like a kindergarten party. And I expect that to happen someday. And I think a lot of people do. And as these battle-hardened veterans of the Iraq War head across the Atlantic Ocean, easily sneaking across our pathetically guarded borders and seeping into this multicultural fabric of American society, your tax dollars and my tax dollars will have paid for their training. Think about that. The sheer irony of it could prove lethal. As new 9/11s confirm the CIA's warning, will it be New York again? Will it be San Francisco, Chicago, some suburban mall someplace? There's a lot of people just need to think about it. A renewed American militarism will be, if we get hit again, will be unleashed and wreak havoc on this world. And so there'll be a cycle of new wars and new provocations. It'll continue on and on and on. And in the future, it's a vista of mass murder and retaliation. They hit us, we hit them, as far as the eye can see, like some giant death machine. A death machine that pumps and expels a poisonous breath as if it were breathing in human lives and spitting out fire. You know, that murderous contraption is called the state, fueled by this war party that we have right now. And, you know, even the blowback from this ill-conceived and morally baseless war, it hits us full in the face, and they still urge the soldiers on, and that's what they get paid for these days, and they're really earning every dime, while these rebels are exacting a terrible toll on the helpless and hapless, I might say, Iraqi government. And the American casualty rate is on the rise. Cheney tells us that the insurgency are really weak. And yet, the insurgents don't need any of these things. They don't need to win a single battle. All they have to do is keep their opponents off balance and avoid losing. And while they're avoiding losing, they're picking up political support from people in their own country who are against occupation by the Americans. Iraqi security forces are thoroughly infiltrated, and that's because there is a unifying ideology that really does transcend religious and political divisions in that country. It's an opposition to a foreign presence. Wouldn't you do the same thing in this country if we had a foreign presence here? Wouldn't you join? Of course you would. I hope you would. But we could still win in Iraq by committing an act of genocide. We could wipe the Sunni population off the face of the earth. We could do it systematically and deliberately and be done with this insurgency forever. Just as we could have nuked North Vietnam. And some of the crazier wing nuts suggested back then that we do just that. Nuke them and declare victory over a pile of radioactive bones. There are people who suggested that. The question is, what new horrors will arise out of something like that? What ghost from something like that is going to come back to haunt us and exact their revenge? Because they will want revenge, just like Americans wanted revenge over 9/11. All these insurgents have to do is wait this out. It's to their advantage. They've got the time. They have the time. They got all the time in the world. But, this war was conceived in deception, and it's being prosecuted on the strength of pure vanity. We're told that we mustn't lose our prestige, even while our prestige is slowly and inevitably leaking away like air being let out of a punctured balloon. You know, Bush and his gang... You're puffed up with insufferable hubris like none I've ever seen in Washington. These neocons lied us into this war, and then now they're trying to say we have no right to turn back. The same Pied Pipers who lured us into this unwinnable conflict are now telling us we have an obligation to press on like lemmings. Just like lemmings are obliged to go over cliff. No thanks. No thanks. Getting out now is the only rational alternative, because nothing short of that is going to end this insurgency. We are the cause of the rebellion that is wrecking Iraq and threatens to wreak destruction throughout that region and the world, and it will only end when we leave. We can't win at this point, but what we can do is snatch thousands of lives from the jaws of our impending defeat. If we have the courage to cut our losses while we can. You know, a mistake once made can rarely be undone. But we can soften the consequences. These neocons are saying we can't afford the price of defeat. And if you think about it, and I know a lot of you are, the most worrisome part is, what is the cost of victory in this? Think about that long and hard. What will a victory cost us in Iraq? I'm saying it'll be way, way too expensive. What about you? Let's go to Chuck in Virginia Beach. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, guy. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to say, guy, that expressed this opinion. I heard the analogy with Vietnam and Iraq, but I think maybe a closer analogy might be what happened to the Soviets when they were in Afghanistan. What do you think about that? I've looked at the various news, and I recall looking at the various news reports when the Soviets were in there, and they were getting eaten up just the way our troops are over in Iraq right now. And it's probably a lot of the same people that are doing that, maybe a little bit older now, maybe some new younger folks, but I think there's a real analogy that one could make militarily into what's happening with our folks over in Iraq right now, our troops, and what happened to the Soviets when they tried to go in there and impose themselves on Afghanistan.
Oh, Chuck, you are so right on with that. You better believe there are a lot of retired Soviet generals sitting around right now saying, I told you so. I knew it. We knew it. We knew exactly what would happen. They knew the modus operandi of these people. They knew the character of these people, and they knew the resolve of these people. They found out the hard way. They lost 15,000 people in Afghanistan.
And, and what you just said, Guy, is exactly true. All, you know, this thing is going to go on, and you can call it cut and run, whatever you want to call it, but at some point, we're going to pack all our stuff, and we're going to leave. I assume probably the politicians will say there was some victory or something like that, but when we leave, it's going to be exactly the same as it is today.
You're exactly right. They have no question, they have no choice but to either commit the genocide I mentioned and blow the place to kingdom come, or get out, one or the other.
Right. And I can't help but think of all these soldiers and Marines and what have you that have been killed, and the families that have suffered those losses, and the maimed and what have you, and what they are going to think after this is all over. Right now, a lot of people are waving the flags, but hindsight, I think it's going to be a very painful experience.
We heard from one Cindy Sheehan last week who lost her son Casey on April the 4th in 04. And we heard that heart-wrenching story, and she said it very eloquently, and that story's been, 1,736 as of today, so...
Right. I guess one final thing, if I could say something, Guy, I'm also very disappointed with the senior military leaders that we have in this all-volunteer force today. I'm not talking about the troops that are going in there and slugging it out and doing the fighting, but... you know, sometimes it takes a little moral courage to say what's really going on there. Maybe it might even affect your career occasionally or something like that. But, you know, it should be obvious to anybody what's going on there. And I think a lot of these, if you listen to Schwarzkopf and some of these senior generals that served in Vietnam, they talk about their experiences, company grade officers, junior officers and things, and how disenchanted they were, how things were going wrong, and then later on, 20 years down the road, they look back as a memorable, not a very enjoyable, and I don't know what the term I would use, but just not a very pleasant time in the military.
Sure.
I think a lot of these young officers that we have today are down the road are going to be looking back at this experience in Iraq in the same way.
Well, and we've lost through attrition and through retirement more senior officers during this than any other time in military history. People have retired, so percentage-wise. So a lot of them have gotten out while they're getting the good.
Right. We've now got a situation where we're paying, in order to get the new recruits that we need, we're paying them up to $40,000 a piece to come in in the military. I'm not sure that... I have some problems with, if we've got to do that, somebody should be asking some questions.
That's right. Hey, thanks much for your call, Chuck. Good to hear from Virginia Beach.
Thanks, Guy. Bye.
Before we get to the top of the hour, let's go over to Juan in Fort Myers. Hello, Juan.
Hi, Guy. Every day seems more obvious that the media is responsible for allowing these neocons to lie and to spin things. They don't question them. They have to be held responsible. You know, when Clinton told a lie, I don't know if you remember, or at least when the Republicans decided to expose the lie, because they knew before they exposed that they were saving for the right time, the main anchors of the television stations in this country were not in the United States. They were in Cuba. And they were in Cuba. They were waiting for the Pope to arrive in Cuba. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all pulled over here. They came over here for the possibility that the president was told one did something wrong or might have lied about something. And here now we have these people lying on a weekly basis, and they don't question them. Nothing questioned them. The thing with Karl Rove, where he was saying, well, they should ask him, okay, which liberal offered therapy to this terrorist? Which one? Name one. I don't never heard of it.
Yeah.
And when the vice president said that we're, the enemy is in the last throes, okay, where do you get that information? Obviously, he's pulling it out of somewhere, and we've got an idea where.
Well, I know where he's pulling it out. Yeah.
And you know, so, but they don't question him, and they keep lying because they, you know, every time that they say something, they attack. They're questioned. It's usually by someone in politics, by a Democrat in politics, and it's a weak attack, and they usually end up apologizing for it. And if they can't beat them, the question, if they cannot answer it properly, they go right away. They run for the flag or they run for the cross to protect themselves, because they really have no way to protect themselves and against
Well, you have to admit you're right. The flag in one hand and the cross in the other, and they're darn good at it.
Yeah. You know, the media is a faded shade of what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
They should be asking the important questions that are facing the American people and our future and health care. People are dying every day because of lack of it. They should be asking about the deficit. Why are we getting more and more in debt in the jobs that have been exported? Why are we borrowing billions of dollars from China? You know, Bill called
Juan,
the other day.
Don't want to cut you off. I got to get in the signal here. Got to run a hard break. Right. And we got Scott Ritter coming up the top of the arc.
Looking forward to that.
Thanks for your call. You're listening to the Guy James Show at 1240, 1270, Wink WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the top of the hour with Scott Ritter.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Possible killer at large. Police in Yuma, Arizona, looking for a man who may be responsible for killing six people at a home last night. Four of the victims, kids ages 6 to 12. Police found a man in the backyard with a gunshot wound, then approached the house.
The Yuma Police Department technical team was utilized to make entry into 2037 East La Mesa Street. Once inside the residence, the technical team discovered five additional subjects, all of which were deceased.
Officer Clint Norrett says the possible shooter could still be armed. Fires raging out west. Western states battling wildfires that have been burning thousands upon thousands of acres from Arizona to Utah and California. Smoke seen in the skies over Las Vegas from an Arizona fire that's torched more than 60,000 acres. Holding off a court appearance rescheduled for tomorrow morning for the five suspects in the Natalie Holloway case.
45 minutes after it was supposed to get underway, a hearing to continue the detention of the suspects being held in connection with the disappearance of Natalie Holloway was postponed until 8:30 Sunday morning. The judge in the case, based on the nearby island of Curaçao, did not make his flight. Under normal circumstances, a 25-minute trip. The hearing would have been the first for Paulus Vandersloot, whose son Joran is also one of the suspects. Meanwhile, a volunteer search team from Texas has arrived on the island, along with sniffer dogs, divers, and sonar, to help solve the mystery of Natalie's disappearance. In Palm Beach, Aruba, David Lee Miller, Fox News.
An air show of a different kind. A helicopter crashing on a Cleveland airport runway just a few hundred yards from an auto race. The pilot came away from the crash without any injuries. No one on the ground was hurt. The pilot reportedly had mechanical trouble in midair. Police are still investigating the cause of that crash. You are listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Your children are so precious. You do anything to protect them. Build fences, install security systems, even move to a safer neighborhood. When your children are at home, you think they're safe, but are they? What about the internet? Have you taught them to protect themselves online? Make internet safety a family concern. Visit www.netsmarts.org.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Do you know someone who goes above and beyond every day on the job? Then nominate he or she for the Wink WNOG Business Person of the Day. The Wink WNOG Business Person of the Day is honored with a great floral arrangement from Ruth Mesmer Florist in Fort Myers or Gene Smith Avenue Florist in Naples. And it all comes to you inside a Wink WNOG coffee mug. To nominate someone you know, just fax your entry for Business Person of the Day to 332-0767. That's 332-0767 for the Business Person of the Day.
Okay, now you've done it. You're in over your head in a repair project. Maybe the AC is just on the fritz. Hey, I'm your host, Dave Borowski from Weigold & Sons. Join in every Saturday morning for our live talk show, Tropical Solutions. Catch us right here at 8 o'clock, Wink and WNOG.
Tropical Solutions can answer all of your questions on air conditioning and home repairs. Tune in this Saturday at 8 a.m. on Wink WNOG.
We're the cool guys.
Weekend station, Wink WNOG.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, sirree. Here we are for the last hour of the program tonight. I promised all of you I was going to have a great guest on tonight. In fact, I told you about it. I was going to have Scott Ritter, former UN's weapons inspector, on tonight. He's been on the program before. It's been a long time. And if there's anybody that I trust to tell us about what goes on in the Middle East, it is Scott Ritter, because after all, if you will recall, nobody called it better than he did. Nobody. And they tried to discredit him. They've tried to say he didn't know what he was talking about. But now we know. Nobody knew it better than Scott Ritter. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce Scott Ritter to you on the program. Scott, are you with us? I guess I better push the button. Yes, indeed. Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Glad to have you. I don't know if you heard that introduction or not, but I said nobody has told it better than you did. I don't think anybody has more credibility on what's going on in the Middle East than you established for yourself when you started this some 6 months before this war started?
Well, actually, I started speaking out about what I saw as shortcomings of U.S. policy on Iraq in 1998, so it was about 5 years before the war.
You have kept abreast of everything that goes on over there, and we're coming through some tumultuous times right now, what with this new election in Iran and so forth. What's your take on the elections we've just had in Iran?
Well, I mean, they're an expression of the will of the people in Iran. And unfortunately, that expression is an embrace of, you know, a very conservative figure, an anti-reformer. As an American who's concerned about our ongoing involvement in Iraq, I certainly don't want to see us getting embroiled in, you know, any sort of go-to with Iran. And yet, this is a man who... it's going to make it very difficult for, you know, a diplomatic process to succeed. So I'm very concerned about what's going on.
Do you think these elections, you know, I got a feeling that the administration is going to say that the elections were rigged, that they weren't honest, this isn't the real will of the Iranian people. What do you think?
I think that these elections, although not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, again, you know, We're dealing with a situation in Iran where the highest level of political authority is held by you know, very conservative religious figures who aren't elected by the people. The president, and that's whom they just elected, is somebody who's below this ruling council. But the president, the people who voted for him, it is an expression of the will of people. It's not a sham election by any stretch of the means. And I think those who have a knee-jerk criticism about the process that just took place in Iran need to reflect long and hard on similar processes that take place in Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and other, you know, Pakistan and other allies of the United States. You know, it's one thing to be fairly critical of Iran, and I'm one of those people who are very critical of Iran. But on the other hand, to be irresponsible in your condemnation of Iran and those who criticize the election as a farce are being irresponsible in that standpoint. You're only alienating yourself from the Iranian people when you do that. There's a lot of hope that the Iranian people will rally around the cause of, you know, liberty and democracy and a more moderate approach towards the West. But when we sit here and snipe at them and belittle a process that millions of Iranians participated in, we're only alienating ourselves from the Iranian people.
Scott, the reason I ask you to come with us tonight is to talk about the recent article you had that says the U.S. war with Iran has already begun. And I'd like you to tell us about that. And I'd like to, if you would, and I'm sure you will, give us some sort of a comparison of what, if that happens, what we're in for as compared to what we're involved in Iraq right now. As a, what, how would Iran compare to that?
Sure, but to start off, because to just jump right into the notion of America being at war with Iran as we speak, a lot of your listeners, and indeed I've had this reaction elsewhere, will say, well, that's just over the top. Of course we're not at war with Iran right now. I just would ask people to reflect back on the summer of 2002 when the President of the United States and his administration spoke of the need for a diplomatic engagement with Iraq, that they were not choosing war with Iraq, that they were seeking alternatives to a confrontation with Iraq. And we now have the Downing Street memo, which no one has put forward as a fake document. In fact, everybody admits it's a genuine document. And it says that not only did the president make up his mind that he was going to wage war with Iraq by the summer of 2002, they were going to fix the intelligence around this policy of invasion. And we also now know that the president had signed a covert finding in the spring of 2002, which authorized the CIA and U.S. Special Operations Forces to operate inside Iraq for the purpose of regime change, and that these operations began in September 2002. So the war with Iraq began in September 2002, although most Americans say, no, it only occurred on March 19, 2003, when the president spoke to them. So now I talk about Iran today. We need to understand the following. This administration has a policy of regime change when it comes to the Iranian government. We're not out to engage with them diplomatically. We're not out to, you know, reach some sort of accommodation with them. We're out to remove them. That is the policy of the United States. Now, we are fixing intelligence around this policy as we speak about an Iranian nuclear weapons program. There is no evidence of an Iranian nuclear weapons program. There's plenty of evidence of an Iranian nuclear energy program, one that dates back to the 1970s when the Ford administration approved this project. Now, keep in mind that Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, among others in the Bush administration, have said that the main reason why we know it's a nuclear weapons program is that there's no reason for Iran, a nation awash in a sea of oil, to seek a nuclear energy program. And yet, when Donald Rumsfeld was Secretary of Defense in 1976, and Dick Cheney was the chief of staff of the White House for Gerald Ford, they both concurred that the Shah of Iran needed a nuclear energy program because Iran could not allow itself to be held prisoner to a single source of oil. So they're fixing intelligence around a policy of regime change. And now we have the CIA working with a group called the Mujahideen al-Quds, the MEK. It's an Iranian opposition group that probably most Americans have forgotten this. They're the ones who took over the embassy in 1979 and held 50-plus Americans hostage for 444 days. They fled to Iraq once they broke ranks with the conservative Islamists who were in power in Iran, and they became a part of Saddam Hussein's intelligence service. The State Department today carries the MEK as a terrorist group. They are confined to a number of bases in Iraq under U.S. military protection, and the CIA has now started working with the MEK to carry out cross-border operations into Iran. And indeed, about 2 weeks ago, there were several bombings in southern Iran. They were carried out by the MEK. They killed 8 people. It's not a lot of people, but it's a terrorist act carried out by a group that the State Department calls a terrorist group who are currently working for the CIA. It's very disturbing, and the authority the CIA has to do this comes from a covert finding signed by the President of the United States. The United States military right now is working hand in glove with Azerbaijan to build a huge military base for the United States for any potential future operations against Iran. So what I tell the American people while they watch TV is that this isn't about diplomacy. We're not seeking a peaceful resolution with Iran. The United States, using the same precedent that has been established regarding Iraq, is at war with Iran as we speak. Now, how will this war shape out? I think it's also understood by most people that we don't have enough troops to occupy Iran. And that's one of the main arguments used. That it doesn't matter what the Bush administration wants. They can't do it. We're bogged down in Iraq. We have 140,000 troops in Iraq. And there's no way we could move on and occupy Iran. And I would answer, you're absolutely right. But they don't plan on occupying Iran. There's a belief in the Bush administration that the Iranian people sincerely want to rise up and overthrow the regime of the mullahs. Now, it's very difficult to imagine that after this election. I think we saw the will of the people. But many of the ideologues in the Bush administration believe the Iranian people just need that little nudge. So the plan is, once the Iranians bring the nuclear reactor at Bushehr up and running, the United States will not only bomb this reactor, but through a massive aerial campaign, bomb air defense facilities, command and control facilities, and national leadership facilities in and around Tehran, suppressing the mullahs and creating a window of opportunity for the people of Iran to rise up and overthrow. Now, if the people don't rise up and overthrow, the next step will be a buildup of several divisions of American troops in Azerbaijan, and then a sharp thrust down the Caspian Sea coast to the outskirts of Tehran. And the U.S. military is war gaming this option as we speak. They just ran a major war game in Fort Leavenworth with the School of Advanced Military Studies this past spring, talking about how to get American troops to Azerbaijan. It'll only take, a couple of weeks to achieve this buildup with the air power right there. We now have troops not occupying Tehran, but on the outskirts of Tehran. And the feeling is that with American troops on the outskirts, the people of Tehran will feel safe enough to rise up. All sounds fine if it happens. The problem is, it's probably not going to happen. Just like the Iraqi people didn't greet us with song and flowers, the Iranian people aren't going to rise up. Their history does not show a people responding to being bombed and being invaded by rising up to support those who bomb them and invade them. They rally around their own government, no matter how unpopular that government is. And that's the situation I believe we're going to find ourselves in if we engage in military operations against Iran. We'll initiate something that we simply don't have the conventional power to complete. And bogged down in Iraq and bogged down in Iran is a nightmare that no American, indeed nobody in the world, wants to see, because it's something that, regardless of how we emerge from it down the road, it's going to be ugly, it's going to be inconvenient, it's going to be costly, and it's going to be bloody.
Well, Scott, it makes one wonder. It makes the average guy wonder, have these people learned nothing from the Iraq debacle?
Well, I think what they've learned from the Iraq debacle is that they can get away with just about anything in terms of domestic American politics. With all of the yelling and screaming that's going on in Washington right now, none of it is mainstream. It's still very much on the fringes. The hearings held by Congressman Conyers about the Downing Street memo. The Downing Street memo is a document that, under normal circumstances, should lead to an investigation into the potential for articles of impeachment. It's a document that clearly demonstrates the probability that the president misled the American people and the American Congress about war with Iraq. It's a serious document, but the American media seems to be ignoring it. You can't get the American Congress to pay it serious attention. They put Conyers down in a basement, And this is where the reaction to President Bush's policy lies today, on the fringe. And so I do believe that the people who advise the president, the people who formulate policy, believe that in a post 9/11 environment, they can continue to manipulate the American public through this fear and ignorance of the world that the American public possesses, to accept just about anything. If you held a poll today about Iran, and you asked the American people to, you know, categorize or classify the Iranian government on a scale of 1 to 10, from, you know, 1 being good to 10 being evil, I think the American public would sit there and nail them down at 9 and 10, although the majority of Americans couldn't even tell you what the Iranian government is, what they've done, why we think they're evil. They've just been pre-programmed to accept the notion of the Iranian government as evil. Now you do the same thing about the Iranian nuclear weapons program. Ask the American people, from a scale of 1 to 10, do they believe Iran possesses a nuclear weapons program? And I think you're going to get, you know, around an 8 or a 9 there, where people say, yes, yes, we do believe this. And yet there's no evidence. In fact, the only evidence the Bush administration has put forward to support its contention that Iran has a nuclear weapons program is defector-based information supplied by guess who? The Mujahideen al-Khalq. So... Wow. It's stunning that, you know, the American people are so, you know, gullible as to fall for this twice, but it appears that's what's happening. And worst of all is the media, who knows what the Bush administration is up to regarding Iran. I'd say mainstream media. They're fully aware of the regime change policy. They're fully aware of what's going on in Azerbaijan. They're fully aware of what's going on with the CIA and the Mujahideen Khalq. I'm not making any of this up. It's all been reported, but it's buried on page A6. On page 821, you know, the back story. It's not the leading story. And the American media, when they react to the Downing Street memo, say, well, it's not that we're saying it's not true, but it's old news. Andrea Mitchell, the lead foreign policy correspondent for NBC News, when confronted about the Downing Street memo, said, anybody in the summer of 2002 that didn't know that this president had a regime change policy, that this president was going to war with Iraq, either had to be deaf, dumb, or blind. Well, excuse me. But Andrea Mitchell and none of her colleagues raised these questions. They parroted exactly what the president said, and they're parroting it today when it comes to Iran.
Well, Scott, why? What's the real reason that we'll be doing this with Iran? What are we after? What is this neocon government after?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, that's a fair question, and now we're jumping out of areas where I have pretty good knowledge and insight into, and we're getting into, you know, political science, where I'm just like the average American here, scratching my head saying, what's going on? All I know is that when I assess what's going on from a national security perspective, it makes absolutely no sense. In fact, everything the Bush administration has done since 9/11 has made it more dangerous for America and the world at large. But when you look at it from a domestic political sense, if you go back pre 9/11 and take a look at what the newspapers were saying about the Bush administration, about Donald Rumsfeld, and about the other neoconservatives, this was an administration that was floundering, failing. It wasn't doing very well. Post 9/11, this is an administration that's seen as strong. Even with all these failures, it's perceived as strong. President Bush won an election, a re-election, despite the fact that as he was running for re-election, I think it was obvious that he had misled the American people about weapons of mass destruction and a link between Saddam and Osama bin Laden. It's not that the American people, you know, they're just not focused on the facts. They're focused on the perception. And the neocons are exploiting that. They're exploiting this environment of ignorance and fear that exists in America. And they've intimidated the American electorate for what? Domestic political power. This is a vehicle. This continued warlike atmosphere is a vehicle that allows a minority of the right wing of the Republican Party to retain their hold on power. That's the only thing, the only analysis that I can come up with that makes sense, because anything else just has me scratching my head saying, why would they do this?
Can you compare, if worse comes to worse and we do get involved militarily in Iran, what kind of an animal are we looking at there as compared to Iraq?
With Iraq, we had the advantage of not just an American people, but indeed an international community that had been sufficiently pre-programmed to accept the notion of Saddam Hussein as the personification of evil and Iraq as a nation desiring weapons of mass destruction, so that I don't think there was the backlash that that could have been had Saddam Hussein not have been perceived in this manner, if the world felt that he was innocent of the charges. With Iran, the world has not been pre-programmed. First of all, there's no United Nations embargo against Iran. So the United States isn't doing business with Iran, but the rest of the world is. So Iran's got embassies functioning around the world. Iran's got their own counter-propaganda functioning around the world. Iran's got a military that hasn't been devastated by a war with the United States and ongoing sanctions. If we go into Iran, we are unleashing something that I don't think the neoconservatives understand what's going to happen. The Iranians have the ability to project power via a global network of terror groups that make Al-Qaeda pale in comparison. The Iranians operate out of their embassies. The Iranians have front companies. The Iranians have, you know, millions of dollars that Al-Qaeda didn't have. Al-Qaeda were really like teenagers carrying out a high school experiment. They got very lucky, tragically so, with 9/11. But that was more luck than skill. It was audacious. But it was also based upon the incompetence of a lot of law enforcement intelligence officials here in the United States. The Iranians play the game for real. They're very good at what they do. The Iranians also have the ability to basically shut down Middle East oil production. They can shut down the Straits of Hormuz. They can destroy Kuwaiti oil fields. They can destroy Iraqi oil fields. They can destroy Saudi Arabian oil fields. And if you're one of the 140,000 Americans currently in Iraq, understand this. Right now, if you're operating in the Sunni Triangle, you're being resupplied to a large extent by the United States Air Force, because it's very dangerous for U.S. convoys to operate on the roads there. We do push convoys out of Kuwait into the outskirts of Baghdad because the Shia-controlled South is relatively peaceful. If we go into Iran, the Shia-controlled South will explode, and suddenly we will have 140,000 American troops in Iraq that will be logistically compromised. And I don't care how brave you are, how tenacious you are, if you run out of fuel, food, and ammunition, you're going to die. And I'm not saying we're going to lose all 140,000 Americans, but we could have a situation, a Dien Bien Phu-type situation, where several thousand Americans are cut off, unable to be resupplied, and overrun. Is America ready for this? Is this really what we need to be doing? No, the answer is no, but no one's projected that. We got cocky over our victory in Iraq, which we need to understand isn't a victory. We didn't defeat Saddam Hussein's military. They went home, and they're fighting us today in the form of the insurgency. So this is a war that never ended, and it's a war that we haven't gotten our hands on yet, and yet we're talking about expanding this war into a nation that possesses a population base three times the size of Iraq. So, and it's a nation that's much more fundamentalist in terms of their embrace of Islam. I don't know how to describe the conflict, because it will be, again, orders of magnitude more difficult, more bloody than what we're experiencing in Iraq. And Iraq is bad enough.
Scott, I have to ask you a personal question. How frustrating was it for you when you came out before the war started? Everything you said has come true. You said the weapons weren't there, that they'd been destroyed. You were one person amongst two or three others that told it like it was, and you knew what you were talking about, and that's been proven. How frustrating was it for you to know that and have that information and find that the government was going to go ahead with this anyway?
Oh, it was extremely frustrating. Not so much that the government was going ahead with it, because, excuse me, I'm used to dealing with a political bureaucracy that does things in the face of facts. What was the most frustrating was that the media would pick up on what I was trying to say. I mean, if I got on a media program, you know, I'm a weapons inspector with 7 years experience in Iraq. I'm somebody who has never been contradicted on a point of fact when it comes to Iraq. And I'll go on a show, and they'll have me up against an ideologue who knows nothing of arms control, nothing of Iraq, nothing of weapons of mass destruction, whose sole job is to shout over me, contradict everything I say, and they're given equal time. And then when I leave the set, they bring on another person who continues to contradict me. So if you're a viewer, all you see is this one voice being shouted over and then other voices reinforcing the negativity. That was frustrating to see the media play this game. It was frustrating that the American people, for the most part, weren't picking up on this. And the only thing that kept me from basically losing it was the realization that, you know, I still had to go forward, speak out, say my piece, not because I was going to change anybody's mind, but I had to make sure that my place in history was confirmed. I mean, I'm very comfortable with how history is going to treat me on this issue. I'm very comfortable with the fact that I will be shown to have been, you know, an honest man who loves his country, who's trying to do the right thing for his country. And in the long term, that might actually be the best service that I can provide, is to put that marker down on the table and say, this is the truth. People might not be willing to embrace it right now, but down the road, maybe that's something people can rally around.
Scott, I admire what you've done so much. I can't tell you how much I admire what you've done and the information you've given us, and I appreciate very, very much having you on the program tonight to tell us all about this. And if this all, God forbid, comes to fruition, why, we'll have you back on again sometime to talk about it. But as right as you've been all along, I certainly hope you're wrong this time.
Oh, I agree. Look, before the Iraq War, when people talk to me about weapons of mass destruction, I said, you know, I'm comfortable that I'm right, but on this issue, I hope I'm wrong. And on Iran, in the analysis that I've provided tonight, I, too, hope I'm wrong, because to be right on this is not a good thing for my country.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most credible person that we've had report on this lead up to Iraq War, Mr. Scott Ritter. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. No one has insight into this situation like Scott Ritter, and you just heard a tremendous amount of information right there, a tremendous amount of information that you need to digest, and you really need to study what Scott Ritter said there. You can look up his, just Google it, Scott Ritter's latest, I don't have the website here, wouldn't you know. Look up his latest piece, and just the Scott Ritter in Iran, and you'll find it. And God help us if this comes true. Going to pause for a break right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll have some more to talk about.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wing WNOG.
Yes, it's EITC time again. You know, the Earned Income Tax Credit. At the IRS, we're here to help. So if you'd like to guess whether you qualify, we offer the following exercise. Grab a crystal ball and place it on a table in front of you. Sit in a comfortable position and breathe in and out. Repeat this until you're relaxed. Clear your mind of all thoughts and stare into the ball until the answer comes to you. Of course, if you'd rather know whether you qualify for the EITC, we offer all the information and help you need. Just call us at 1-800-TAX-1040. That's 1-800-TAX-1040. Visit us on the web at irs.gov, keyword EITC, or ask your tax preparer. So if you'd like to stop guessing whether you qualify for the EITC, consider it done.
Today's tip for parents from the Parent Institute. I'm Dr. John Wherry. Peer pressure starts when children are very young. Whether it's pressure to buy expensive sneakers or pierced body parts, peer pressure can be tough on kids. So what can parents do to help kids cope? First, help your child develop self-confidence. A good way is to ask your child for her opinion often. When your child sees that you respect what she thinks, she'll be swayed less by others. Second, encourage your child to take part in positive activities like music, athletics, or youth groups. And finally, talk with your child about important issues and listen to what she has to say. When you're willing to listen and not just lecture, your child will see that she can think for herself. For more information on coping with peer pressure, visit the Parent Institute website at radio.parentinstitute.com.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of a hurricane may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After a hurricane, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing. Demand references and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Hi, it's Mandy Connell from Daybreak. Have you got something to say? The Wing WNOG Soapbox will be open from noon to 2 this Wednesday at Gulf Coast Dodge. You rant, we record, and then you listen to Daybreak from 6 to 9 weekdays to hear it on the air. We'll also have Wing WNOG coffee mugs with flowers from Ruth Metzger Flores and tickets for a very special performance by astronaut Story Musgrove. So stop by Gulf Coast Dodge Wednesday from noon to 2. I'll see you there.
Mom was having such a hard time taking care of Dad, and herself too. Now they're getting help through the National Family Caregiver Support Program with things like meals, cleaning, helping to make their home safe, and finding a companion for Dad to give Mom a break. To find help near you, call the Elder Care Locator at 1-800-677-1116 or visit eldercare.gov. Brought to you by the Administration on Aging, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
All right, Guy James back with you. And, oh, we forgot one of our commercials here. Here we go.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. Be sure and jot that down and know all of our right-wing friends will be wanting to call that number probably right now. The phone banks are open. 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. Get in on it while you can. Oh, my God. That interview with Scott. I sat here and truly, I'm just completely sobered by that whole thing. I knew what he was going to talk about, but when Scott starts talking, you start listening, and he is without question. There is no question that he is the most credible source that there was before this Iraq war started. He told us. He told us exactly what was going to happen. He told us about the weapons. He knew. He knew it, chapter and verse. And so that was a very sobering interview with Mr. Scott Ritter. My God. I do hope he's wrong, and he hopes he's wrong, and he means that. He does hope he's wrong. Scott Ritter is a patriot. There's a man who's done his duty in the service, attained a high rank, and loves his country. And when America's wrong, he tries to put it right again. You know, we always say that. My country right or wrong? No. If my country's wrong, it is our obligation to make it right again, to right the ship. And right now, this ship is listing badly, badly. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. I do want to let you know something. Let's see. After next week's show, we are going to be changing our hours an hour. We're going to be on from 6 to 9 Eastern Time. 6 to 9 Eastern Time, and that'll be week after next. So jot that down, all of you late hour night owls. You won't have to stay up so late. It'll be, 6 to 9. So we'll keep you apprised of that situation next week. And I, before I get back to the phones, and I will just in just a moment. God, I can't shake that from talking to Scott. I think all you liberals need to lighten up a bit. And I really mean that. All of this talk about how bad the war is and all. You know, you say Bush lied to get us into this war. I say so what? You know, war is good for the good old USA. Yes, sir, it's really, really good for the USA. Now, it might not be good for the kid down the street who got his legs blown off, and it may not be good for that neighbor girl in the Marines who will never see or hear again, the young kids over at Walter Reed with various body parts missing, the ones who will be vegetables the rest of life, might not be very good for them either. Oh, and the parents and family of those kids who are maimed or killed, it's kind of tough on them. But, all in all, war is good for America. Yes, most of us will have to pay extra taxes in the long run, and maybe our kids will have to pay back the huge deficit caused by the war, but I'm telling you, war is good for America. You see, I know many of you don't think war is so good, but you haven't taken the time to really examine the good effects of war. Yes, the good effects. Now, I know that not very, very many of you listening right now have huge stock portfolios. Maybe some of you do, but you may know somebody who does. And if your friends are lucky enough to hold stock in Lockheed, Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown & Root, well, they'll tell you just how good war really is. You see, there are a select few in this country who do right well during war. Always have. Always will. It's called profiteering. And a select few, usually friends of those who start the wars, and in this case, friends of the Bush family or the Cheneys, those select few make a killing, a real killing. Oh, yeah, the production of advanced weapon system in America won't change the unemployment figures, but it will line the pockets of a handful of large corporations with billions of dollars of excess profits. All from George Bush's war. You know, you take Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, for instance. They both bid for that new joint Stryker fighter contract. Created 5,400 new jobs. That's pretty good, don't you think? 5,400 new jobs. The only trouble is that the cost for each one of those jobs created was $37 million per job. $37 million. Yes, I said $37 million per job. Paid for by the good old taxpayers. Now, who do you suppose is reaping the benefits of that $37 million per job created? Oh, yeah, those folks getting those jobs will make pretty good money. But $37 million per job? Who do you think is getting most of that dough? Yeah, you guessed it. A select few war profiteers, the same dirty vultures who always hang around the battlefields and feed on the corpses of dead American soldiers. Those people. People like the Carlyle Group. Anyone know who's in that little war profiteering company? Take a good look. You know, the real truth is that although oil and Bush's desire for revenge for his daddy are also reasons for this his war fever, he also has to pay his friends. Got to pay them back. Those are the ones that got him elected with millions of dollars of dirty war profiteering money, campaign money. There's a whole separate economy run by a handful of companies who have Bush's ear, and they're urging him to get involved in direct military action in as many places as possible. You know the old saying, follow the money? It's never been more important than right now. If you take the time to follow the billions of dollars flowing in and out of Iraq, you'll find that most all, if not all of it, is flowing into the pockets of people who have close ties to the Bush family. I'm not kidding about that. That's no BS. Billions and billions of dollars, lots of it totally unaccounted for, millions of barrels of oil unaccounted for, and some of the cash being actually handed out in duffel bags. Actually, canvas duffel bags full of cash being handed out to these people in Iraq. All money stolen from taxpayers who have no say in this war at all. Same taxpayers who are sacrificing their kids for Bush's war. But that's the way it is, folks. The little people pay for the war with treasure and blood, and the big military-industrial friends of the president and his pals walk away with their pockets stuffed with billions of dollars and filthy profits paid for with the blood of kids who didn't even know what was really going on. Didn't know, didn't want to know. No one has ever been better at war profiteering than the friends of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. And no administration has ever been more in your face toward the American public about squandering their hard-earned money than this morally bankrupt Bush administration. And if you think for one moment that these filthy war profiteers didn't have a hand in Bush's decision to go to war, then you're living in a dream world. It's the money, folks. Follow the money. Always follow the money, especially around the Bush people. Follow the money. Oh, sure, we've lost over 1,700 American kids on the battlefield and killed untold numbers of innocent Iraqis, but the money for a select few of human vultures has been staggering. Enormous profits made from the blood of every kid who came home in a casket and every kid who's wounded and horribly scarred for life. Maybe you can't live with that. I know I can't. But I know who can. And I know who is living with it. And their names are Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Reif and Wolfowitz and the rest of their gang who no doubt have not shed a single tear for our kids coming home in flag-draped coffins. The point of this is, follow the money. When Bush is involved, follow the money. And that'll lead you to the reason for this war. War profiteering vultures. That's what they are. You don't hear that very much on the air, do you? You don't hear that on the right-wing shows. They can't say that. They won't say that because they don't dare say that. Because it's the truth. It's the dirty, filthy truth. The dirty, rotten underbelly of this administration. They won't talk about it. But I will. Let's go to Ryan. He's been waiting a long time. Ryan up in Wisconsin. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Great, guy. Nice to hear you again tonight. Had a couple things I wanted to talk to you about, if I could, quick.
Certainly.
I just wanted to remind the listeners that the Dow dropped 166 points on Thursday, 129 points on Friday, and again, it's lower than when Bush was appointed by the Supreme Court. It's lower now than it was in January of 2001. Oil hit $60 a barrel this week, an all-time high on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Just a little quick fun fact for you there. My second point was, I'm sure you're familiar with this, Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska.
Oh, yes.
He did an interview with U.S. News and World Report, and let me just quote what he said there. This is in response to Dick Cheney saying the insurgency is in its last throes. Chuck Hagel said, quote, "Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. The White House is completely disconnected from reality. It's like they're just making it up as they go along. The reality is that we're losing in Iraq," end quote. Now, he must really hate America, huh?
There's a guy from Middle America. You don't get any more Middle America than Chuck Hagel.
That's exactly correct. And I have this one last thing here. And I wish your listeners and everybody across this country would start writing letters to the editor like this. Keep them short, sweet, and to the point. Like this letter I'm going to read you, it's about 40 words, and I think you're going to like it. Let me just preface it, because I referenced a few things in here. You saw that stunt with Duncan Hunter where he pulled out the plates of food and said how great life is in Guantanamo.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the stunt where Dick Cheney went on the air and said that the Guantanamo prisoners are living in the tropics, so they must be happy and well cared for. And the FBI report that Dick Durbin read about how we're treating people there. So here's my letter, and I'll finish up with this and let you get to your next call. Okay, it goes like this. I have a suggestion for the Bush crime family's punishment after they are impeached and forcibly removed from office. Whereas George W. Bush, Richard Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld have been found irrefutably guilty of war crimes, torture, rape, and murder, they will be punished as follows. They will be detained in a Guantanamo Bay detention facility and forced to bathe daily in buckets of blood from American soldiers who died needlessly in Iraq based on absolute lies. Furthermore, they will be chained to the floor and forced to urinate and defecate on themselves. The prisoners will be given oven-roasted chicken, peas, corn, and two selections of fruit several times in a cycle. I'm sure they won't mind, since they will be living in the tropics.
So right on, Ryan.
Do you think that people need to start writing letters to the editor like that guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to somehow level this playing field in the media, and we need massive letter-writing campaigns. You know what we need, Ryan?
What?
We've been too docile. We Democrats, we liberals, we people that are against this administration, there ought to be millions of us walking in the streets right now.
Yeah.
There ought to be millions of Americans right now taking to the streets and telling these people no more.
You know, they're having a big march on Washington in September, and it's a march for impeachment of George W. Bush, and I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. and participate in that myself.
All right. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Let us know how that goes, Ryan.
I'll call you back.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
What is wrong with this? What is wrong with this? Why haven't we taken to the streets? Do you remember the demonstrations during the Vietnam War? I didn't approve of all the demonstrations that went on during the Vietnam War. I remember lots of them really well, and there was some violence that I didn't approve of in a lot of them. But the people got out there and stood for what they believed. They fought. They fought against something that was wrong, that they knew in their hearts was wrong. And don't tell me that there aren't millions and millions and millions of people that know in their hearts tonight, right now, know that this is a terrible thing we're involved in Iraq. And know that this administration is up to their ears in crime and corruption. There are millions of people who are aware of that. And yet, it goes on. It goes on and on and on because we haven't done enough. We haven't done enough to put a stop to it. Where's your backbone, America? Where's your backbone? Time to grow a spine again. Who was it that sent me this? Annie Eastland sent me this. A little levity here. One well-written sentence from the Sunday Portland Oregonian. I like this. And I quote, other than telling us how to live, think, marry, pray, vote, invest, educate our children, and now die, I think the Republicans have done a fine job of getting government out of our personal lives. Thank you for that, Connie. Annie, I couldn't agree more. And speaking of Connie, we're going over to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Hi, how are you, guys?
Good.
It was wonderful to hear Scott Ritter tonight. And,
oh, yeah.
It seems that on the 23rd of June, Michael Smith, who was the person who was given the Downing Street memos, wrote something. And he said he was actually surprised that so much was made of the one memo that came out because he felt that more emphasis should have been on a separate briefing paper for those actually taking part. And it was something to do with a meeting at Crawford that Blair met with Bush where they were discussing that UK would support military action to bring about the regime change. That's what this writing is about, that he felt was so important. And this is where they had the plan A, to go to the UN Security Council to get the UN to, make their vote to give the Iraq leader an ultimatum to let in the weapons inspections, and that was supposed to put pressure on him. But the plan B was to bomb under pressure, and the bombing started, let's see, what does he say? So there was almost no bombing between March and April, and then an average of 10 tons a month were dropped between May and August. And this is from the Ally reports of bombs dropped. But then the initial spikes of activity, this is what his statement said, didn't have any desired effect. The Iraqis didn't retaliate. This was the whole pressure, the idea to put pressure on them to retaliate from the bombing. They didn't provide an excuse Bush and Blair needed. So at the end of August, the Allies dramatically intensified the bombing into what was effectively an initial air war. This is in August.
Right.
The number of bombs dropped on southern Iraq by the Allied aircraft shot up to 54.6 tons in September alone, with the increased rates continuing into 2003. In other words, Bush and Blair began their war not in March of 2003, as everyone believes, but at the end of August 2002, right, 6 weeks before Congress approved military action against Iraq.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And yet American just all sat here and went, oh, well. Oh, well. He's our president, and he knows what he's doing. He's a fine man, and he wouldn't do anything wrong. Well, I'm afraid we trusted him a little bit too much. I won't include myself in that.
Yep, and now it looks like we're doing it again and on.
Connie, thanks for your
You're
call.
You're welcome.
Great
Thank
to hear
you.
From you.
Okay.
Let's see here. We're going to go down to Naples, Florida. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Who's this?
Yes, this is Guy.
Yes, hi, Guy. I just wanted to say, why don't we Democrats or liberals get all together and decide to start a lawsuit against the administration, the PNAC gang, and including the media. Let's go after the New York Times and the Washington Post and everybody for covering up and lying and they're deceiving the public.
It's been the greatest mass deception in the history of this country.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question about it, and you're exactly right. The media is complicit.
But we'll get headlines if we do a lawsuit, right? Even if it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, who are we going to get to do this? Let me see.
A lawsuit will get a lot of headlines. It may not go anywhere because all of these judges are bought by the administration. You know, they're all Republicans and work for the GOP, but, well, it's worth a try and see how far we can go.
That's right. Will you find the lawyer and see if he'll do us a good job pro bono?
Well, there's got to be one. There's got to be one out there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a big class action suit. Mary, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
Thanks very, very much. Do want to remind you before I take another call to please support the program with your donations. We'd love to hear from you. You can go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and do that through PayPal or Amazon on there. Or you can go by snail mail. 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Let's go back to the phones and talk to John in Cape Coral. Hello, John.
Well, Guy, I've been listening to you, and if I hear you, the worst problem is Iraq. And if I hear Congress, the worst problem is the burning of the American flag, where we're passing an amendment.
That's right, but John, I have a solution for that.
Yes.
I think it'll cure the whole problem. I say we pass a federal law mandating that all flags be made of non-flammable material.
Well, that would be too simple. But, you know, my problem is this the priority of our country? When's the last time we heard a problem of a flag being burnt?
Well, that's right. That's right. It's another one of those diversion things.
This seems to be the priority of Congress, to pass this amendment. In the meantime, everything you've said and your guest has said about Iraq is correct, but the problem of our leadership is they're not concerned.
No, and you know what? One of our previous callers said something about him marched around with a cross in one hand and a flag in the other, and I think that hits it right on the nail right on the head. That's exactly what they've done.
And the other thing that bothered me was this whole thing: if we don't like the message, we got to change the messenger. Let's do away with funding for PBS.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's the same as you're talking about the fact that there's no time on this Meridian Broadcasting for anything liberal. There's only one point of view. Well, if there should be allowed another point of view on public broadcasting, we've got to change that. Doesn't it remind you of a fellow named Goebbels?
Absolutely. And I don't know how many people know. I know you've been keeping track of it, John. There's some very sinister activity taking place toward PBS and NPR right now.
And I think it's scary.
It certainly is.
Better look at it. Once you cut off the pieces of information and the sources of objection, and you increase the Patriot Act, it begins to be shades of what went through pre-war Nazi Germany. And I think the same thing is being attempted here. And when we look at this war in Iraq, it's costing American lives. We're gaining. Everybody has said that Iraq is now the breeding ground for terrorism. We haven't eliminated terrorism. The goal that he's had is just the opposite has been accomplished. So let's concentrate on the burning of the American flag. It's much more critical.
Got to run, John. Thank you.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. Thanks to all of you for calling the program tonight. You helped make this a good show, along with Scott Ritter. We appreciate your listenership. We really do. We try to bring you the truth and a good program every week, and we thank you for being with us. Well, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you next week, gang.
James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Marketing director, Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
And we appreciate most of all your participation in our program. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. Thanks for listening to the Guy James Show.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Welcome to the new American century.